Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
The Brewing Network Sunday Session is brought to you by More Beer, featuring the new easy-to-sanitize threaded diffusion stone. Check out the new threaded diffusion stone at morebeer.com. Item number KEG590.
I poured it in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops.
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's fine.
God damn it, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, uh-oh.
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
I just want to hang out and listen to the song all day. It's good stuff.
That'd be good with me, man.
You guys all want microphones today?
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
Not really good.
Here we go.
No.
Push and I have been trying to fix the video in the studio all day. And inevitably, once you change one thing, the rest of the thing gets fucked.
House cards.
Yeah. It's a very, very finicky studio we've built here in Pacheco. Welcome to the program. It's The Session. Happy to be back this week after a nice little vacation for 4th of July last week, where I almost died. It was a near-death 4th of July, 3rd of July.
Really. Another session starting off with a near-death Justin story? What happened
fireworks?
This time?
I rolled a go-kart that was almost impossible to roll.
Oh.
But I can do it. I can do it all.
Those things are like 2 inches off the ground. How do you roll one?
I don't know.
Turbo.
You try real hard.
I guess
you
sit real erect or something. I don't know.
Were you drinking?
I was definitely drinking.
What?
It was good fun, though. I had a blast. And even the fall was probably the most fun. And a couple, lost a little skin, no big deal. Kept the head up off the ground, which is important.
Didn't see that, yeah. So it was literally fun. Right in front of us. I mean, he was coming in hot. And instead of braking, he just put it into like a hard skid, knowing, I guess, that it's not going to turn over. Well, it came to a stop. And then just as it was about to stop,
right,
had just enough energy left to just barely flip him over, so he just kind of rolled out of it rather than hitting hard.
It was great. It was a good time.
I don't know about great. It was interesting.
We were all like freaking out, like, "Oh, this, yeah." Because Michael's ran around with a beer in his hand, right? We're going, "Yeah, this is one of those 4th of July things." I already got 9-1 already punched into my phone, right?
Just press the other one more digit.
Then here you come and do that, and I go, "Yeah, yeah, this is it."
Yeah, had the head hit the ground, it could have been ugly.
Yeah.
But everything else is fine. It's good. That's a good time. So I really like Sundays off now, man. I got to tell you that right now. Every time we have a Sunday off, because it used to be even on our off week, we were out doing something, either another event or something. But it's been kind of slow for events lately. And so now our Sundays off are like real Sundays off, even when we move the show to Monday. I really, really like it. So as Moscow keeps predicting.
See, I knew it. The second you first mentioned it, I was like, all right, well, what's the over-under on until it's just a Monday session?
Audience better get ready.
I still don't think it works as a... it doesn't work as a permanent Monday session still. So you got that. It's Sunday has that going for it. But I do think that it's just going to happen a little more often. For example, I'm happy to be going back to... I just bought my tickets to the NorCal Homebrewers Festival this year. And I haven't gone back. I haven't been there in like 2 years or something, mostly because they usually put it on the same weekend as GABF,
right.
And I have to go to that, so I haven't been able to do it. But this time they separated it. But then the other problem tends to be, well, I can't take another Sunday off because we already take a Sunday off during GABF. But now that we got this Monday situation going on, I can go to NCHF, have a hangover on Sunday, do the show on Monday. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I'm going to NCHF too.
I'll
it sounds
too.
Good.
Yeah, you got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Tasty, you're planning on going back this year, right?
Wherever you're. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, got the tickets. Going to take the Westie up there. I had to break down and take the Westie to a real mechanic this week.
Oh,
it breaks my heart. I felt like such a failure. I did fix the problem at hand, so I wasn't a total failure, but I broke it broke something else in the process, and I changed out the starter and the battery. Now, the battery's easy, so nobody has to pat me on the back for that. I'll just let you guys know.
Right.
But you can definitely pat me on the back for changing the starter. That was a big project. And a big retard like me.
Big I was pain in the ass, too.
Super proud of myself. Get in there. Fires right up, just like she should. But it won't idle. I broke the idle control something or other stupid thing. So I'm thinking, well, I can fix this, too. I can do this. But then I finally had to look myself in the mirror and go, I don't know anything about this. So the Westie is now in the shop getting ready for summer adventures, which include driving up through OBF and into Washington and possibly Vancouver, and then the NorCal Homebrewers Festival, and Sourfest is in a couple weeks, which Nate's missing now because he's going to Europe instead.
Damn it.
I don't understand that decision. And
I have my own Sourfest at Canteon. Maybe.
Yeah. If you own, that'll probably be a good idea.
So the Westie's going to see a few more mechanic shops. That's what you're telling us.
Yeah. But outside of California, most
likely.
Yeah,
you got them lined up along the way.
Out on the road.
Strategic stops.
But I realize I love this Westie so much that I'm having separation anxiety. I dreamt about it last night. I dreamt that I went to pick up the Westie and the mechanic, whose name is Pablo. Pablo's great. He treats her like an angel. And I'm talking to Pablo, and he had just really polished it up. He fixed so many things that I had this whole really long dream about Pablo telling me how great the Volkswagen runs now. And I woke up going, wow, that's real weird.
Dreams are such an accurate indicator of what's really on your mind, you know?
What your real loves are.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Yep. Didn't dream about anything else. Hey, JP, what's going on over there on your side
I'm
of the
sorry.
Studio,
I'm trying
man.
To fix the fucking camera right now.
Oh. Just checking in on you. All right, Bevo's back in the chat room today. You can hit the chat now button and send us your questions over there. We've got Zach Tremert from, this time, Lucky Bucket Brewing Company. Zach was on way the hell back in 2007 for what I think was a Very Stripper Christmas show. So I'm sure that I don't know if he knows about what happened in part two of the show after he got off the air with us.
I'm guessing not, otherwise he would have never agreed to do today's show.
We're going to have to ask him. I'm real curious to know, because what happens when we do a show like that is, you know, the brewer's like real happy to be on the show and they get out lots of information. And then they can't tell anybody about it because we go and ruin the end of the show with a Very Stripper Christmas.
Their mothers can't listen.
So I'm real curious how much Zach knows about what happened after he got off the show. You know, people might come into the brewery and go, oh, Zach, we heard you on that show.
Huh? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What happened with all the strippers afterward? And that's when Zach's like, strippers? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I can't wait to find that out.
Not getting on a poll this time.
All right. Wait, hey, there's one still here. I mean,
I'm entirely too fat for that business.
You Bevo stripped?
No. But she did wear some naughty lingerie and dance on a pole.
Stripper what? Moves.
This lingerie?
It was not stripper moves. It was a white girl act. I looked like I was having a seizure.
But But lingerie, though.
True. We didn't care.
It wasn't really lingerie.
Yeah. I honestly don't know what the hell's wrong with Bevo, but she pretty much does anything I ask her to.
I do. I'm so stupid.
It's so strange.
Against her own objections. It's
weird. Well, she says absolutely no.
And I was horrified by it, too. Like, I was.
And then I just rephrased it a little bit, and then she's like, fine. She does everything.
You'd make a great attorney. Just rephrase it slightly, and now it's great.
You get all the answers. It's really, I don't know what's wrong with that girl, but she's a good sport.
I don't either.
So you sure you don't want it? I probably still have the same outfit hanging in my closet or something.
That shirt, that nightgown would fit me like a tank top.
Right now.
But just think how many guys would rather see you in your state now than they, you know, wanted to back in 2009.
Huh?
Or whatever that was. Those yeah, I'm not me, but I know those guys.
There are some of those websites like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Creeper.
Yeah. You could make some money for the baby. Those websites.
Baby's fine. Don't worry about it.
Zach's on Skype. He says, no strippers this time? Forget it.
Okay, good. So he knows. That's good. All right,
not a real stripper.
So we're going to hear about Lucky Bucket Brewing Company from Zach, and they're also doing some distilling. So if you've got beer questions or distilling questions, 888-401-BEER is the number, or you can hit the chat now button, and Beav will get those over to us. I'd like to say you could watch the video right now on JustinTV/Brewing Network, Justin.TV/Brewing Network, but I think the audio is all jacked or something.
No, it's fine.
Got it working.
Yeah.
Nice work.
All right. But we only have one camera because I can't figure out how to turn the other one on. So.
Oh, that's weird. Oh, you just, in the cam, you just hit that middle button in between them and it'll slide back and forth.
No, I know how to transition, but I don't know how to get the second camera to actually turn on.
They're both on by the light action.
Yeah, but not on my preview windows.
Oh, in Adobe or in CamCam?
In CamCam, the preview window for the camera B is not on.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. All right, we'll check it out at the break.
Yeah.
Single camera, back to old school. It's not that big a deal. Which camera's working? The one to my back?
This one.
That one's not working.
That one is working.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, hopefully you got the good one going, but nope. Now you got the one you have to stare at me for the next half hour. Oh, well. All right, so go over to justin.tv/brewingnetwork. You can watch the video. And, you know, if you're a podcast listener, you can also go back and watch the videos because they're all recorded there. So you can catch, like, the most recent 4 or 5 episodes all the time. So don't feel left out if you're a podcast guy. Get over there drunk and, you know, end of the night, and you can watch us then. It's a lot of fun.
I don't know what the fucking thing is, man.
Who are you talking to, JP?
I'm talking to myself.
The fucking voices in your head.
Yeah. Let's do a real quick reboot right before the show, and then that way I can sit here and try to turn everything on in the first 5 minutes.
That's the way it goes. Show must go on. All right. I've got a few announcements for us today, not too many, actually, which is how you know that I'm happier in life right now, because there's not a whole lot to do. There is a new audio streamer on our website. After years of waiting for something affordable to show up so that you didn't have to use the Abacast client and download that little thing and having to answer a bunch of emails and shit like that, now you just click the listen button and a player pops up right in your browser and everybody can listen, and it's in higher definition than it ever was before.
Wow.
So it should be sounding better. It should be easier. Now you can point your friends over to it and they don't have to ask you 10 questions about needing Winamp or iTunes or QuickTime. It doesn't matter. Opens right up in your browser.
I'm amazed we had as many listeners as we did.
Me too.
For a while. The work they had to go through.
But here's what happened. It went from, it about doubled in price if I would have gone to a player like this back when we started. And it never changed. So we went with Abacast because whatever proprietary software they had allowed us to have an unlimited number of listeners for a low price. The trade-off was that it was a big pain in the ass to use if your computer didn't like the little client that needed to be downloaded, all of that. So finally, after a couple of years, streaming is becoming less expensive, servers and bandwidth are growing, and so it's not so difficult. So there is now a 32K stream and a 64K stream, which is higher than it ever was before. So you still have a low bandwidth and a high bandwidth choice, and opens right there in your browser. So tell your friends it's easier than ever to listen to the Brewing Network now.
You can hear Bevo be pregnant.
Yes, you can hear.
High def.
Hear the stomach growing.
Oh, we should have a little baby microphone just to hear if it grumbles and kicks.
Hear the stretch marks.
Oh,
forming.
I don't have any of those.
You don't?
Not
how
yet.
Is that possible?
I butter the hell out of this thing. Seriously,
they happen.
Cocoa butter, listen. Like
that's what you have to do. It's cocoa. You just put cocoa butter on it all the time?
As of right now, that's all I'm doing. I mean, I might still get them, but at this point, I don't have any.
Is that like all day? So at any given time, you have a big greasy belly?
No, just in the morning.
Just in the
morning? Just when I get out of the shower.
All right. feels very, it sounds very slippery and greasy to me. That the rest of, like, your shirt would just slide around all day.
No.
It's not like that.
Just normal lotion.
I see.
Those guys I was talking about are loving this conversation.
It soaks right in.
Such a creepy conversation.
Like, yeah. She probably can't eat the butter, so she rubs it on the skin.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude. I can eat the butter.
It feel good.
Rubs the lotion on the skin.
Right out of the shower. Yeah, I'm getting it.
Wow. All
diggity
right.
Diggity.
Okay. You can watch BYOB TV online over at coffeetv.com. Click on the BYOB link. We're all wrapped up, so all 10 episodes are now online. You can watch them all over there at coffeetv.com. Happy it's over. Subscribe and join the BN Army just by becoming a recurring donor. It helps us keep this whole thing alive and makes us stop complaining about you having to do it. So hit the subscribe button and donate if you like the content. You can find all this and more over on Twitter and on Facebook. Send your show ideas over to Scott the Jew. That's Scott at thebrewingnetwork.com, S-C-O-T-T at thebrewingnetwork.com. That's where your show ideas go to. If you have topic ideas, if you have guest ideas, anything you want to hear. You know, we start to realize that after 6 years of shows, you know, coming up with home brewing topics that we haven't covered for you gets a little difficult. And so we end up kind of redoing certain topics with a different angle or with different people. So don't be afraid to ask for stuff we've already done. Maybe just suggest what guest you'd like to hear talk about it, and we're happy to do it. We kind of... You know, like the beer magazines have been around for a hell of a lot longer than us.
They have the same issue. Yeah.
And, you know, the same topics come out over and over, but they get a different writer to do it. So it's always, I'm not saying it's the same material. It's the same topics, and they get a fresh take on it. And we would like to do the same for you, but you have to send us your ideas. And they go to Scott at thebrewingnetwork.com. That way we can give you the shows that you want. And then you can send your feedback to feedback at thebrewingnetwork.com and then send everything else over to JP. All right. We're bringing back a long-dead segment this week. I don't think we've done this segment since... When did we start?
June 2006.
This is from 2006, probably.
Is it the lunch meet?
June 05.
Is it the lunch meet minute?
Right? Stump the Stoner? Mm-mm.
God damn it.
No. We're just bringing back a simple old thing that people really used to like, and we took it out because the show got so long, and but we wanted to bring it back because we think it's important to keep on top of these things. Plus, we all have such great opinions. Don't we? That everybody really wants to hear.
Yeah, they do.
We're bringing back the beer news segment. Moscow has gathered up some beer news for us, so tell us what's happening in the world of beer, Moscow.
All right. Let's start in Wisconsin, where the legislature recently approved an amendment to the state budget that could change the way beer is sold in that state. Basically, it would ban brewers from purchasing distributors, something craft brewers say they might need later to avoid getting squeezed out of the market by large corporate brewers. So, more anti-craft and homebrew legislation.
But doesn't that legislation exist in the first place to protect small brewers from the bigger breweries that can afford to buy up distributors, buying all the distributors? So don't you kind of open up a can of worms if you start allowing brewers of any size to buy distributors?
What I say about the questions, Jay.
Well, this isn't for information. This is I'm telling you the facts. Right now it says that that brewers can't buy a distributor. Is that correct? Is that what the article says?
Yeah. The legislation would ban brewers from purchasing distributors.
So they can
so
now.
As of now, they can.
So I'm just saying that the same argument that says it will hurt small brewers is the argument that says brewers at all should not be able to buy distributors. Because, let's face it, what brewers have the most money?
The big ones.
Yeah.
Sure.
So what if they're allowed to buy up all the distributors? Then you really get squeezed out, don't you?
Yes.
Now, I could be wrong on one thing. That might already be the case. Maybe some of the big brewers already do own distributors. I don't really know exactly how that works.
They do.
So small brewers are the only ones getting squeezed out.
Basically, yes.
And this legislation is going to change that.
Well, no, it's going to make that possible. This would ban brewers from... Oh, I guess it would ban the big brewers from purchasing distributors. Yes. So it would help the small guy.
Right.
Yeah, so this is, we want this. Yay.
I like
Yay,
how
Wisconsin.
The segment's going so far.
I changed much. Big change of heart.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Small brewers get fucked, as usual.
But it still allows a brewery to own a distributor. It doesn't prevent a brewery from...
No, it prevents them from...
Obtaining
more.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think it would affect what they
can they start
own.
Their got own? It. I wonder if a brewery can
exactly.
just start their own distributor. Because isn't that what Stone did in order to compete with this?
You got it.
Stone just said, well, fuck it. We'll distribute everybody's beer.
Exactly. So what does that entail? You just purchase a bunch of trucks? Like, how do you start your own distribution?
You get a license.
License and legal stuff is probably the majority of it.
But I think that those licenses are easier to get than brewery production licenses.
Probably.
To be able to... I know that Chad for a while was looking into wholesale licenses and things like that. And I think it's actually a little less regulated to become a distributor or a wholesaler, for that matter, than it is to become a brewer. So Stone had it right. And then, of course, I mean, it's not that difficult to do it well, which I understand Stone does a very good job. It's quite a bit of infrastructure. You got to have an enormous cold room, which they have. Or you could do it the way the shitty distributors do and have an enormous warehouse out in Stockton where it's 120 degrees right now. But Stone really does it right. They have an enormous cold room right there at their new facility. They have refrigerated trucks, and they just distribute all the great craft beer throughout Southern California. That's the way to do it right there. That's how small brewers can compete.
So what is, like, Jamil going to do? That white van that he has, is he driving beer around to people?
Yeah, you're still allowed to self-distribute. And I don't know all the details on that either. But, for example, Russian River still does some self-distribution, but also works with distributors to get farther than they can deliver to. Moonlight, it's fantastic. It's the joke. Not a joke, as in he's a joke, but it's a joke among brewers that you can always find Brian Hunt from Moonlight with a hand truck and a keg in his hand somewhere because he distributes all of his beer himself, works his ass off to get the beer around. So you can still do that. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, what else you got?
Well, the results are in for the 2011 Best Beers in America poll conducted by the AHA. I'm sure all of us already saw this. Hopefully one of us didn't, so you can guess what the number one beer was.
I didn't.
You didn't see it. Good. Over 1,300 beers from over 400 and, well, exactly 433 different breweries represented. What do you think the number one beer was?
Is this by popularity? Is it a vote or by sales?
AHA members voted.
Popularity.
Yeah. I thought it was a pub.
Not sales.
Third year in a row. Same beer won.
It is?
The most popular pub?
Beer.
No, the beer.
I suppose I should know this.
If it is the third year in a row.
It's the third year in a row, but I don't know it. Let me guess then. What is the most popular beer in... it's not that. It's not
Distress.
One
out of eight people
are
from California. Do you know that?
It's a U.S. beer. It has to be a U.S. beer.
So it's either Stone or Sierra Nevada?
They have a separate category for the import.
Is it Pliny again?
Yep.
It's Pliny again.
Pliny from Russian River. Yes, Pliny the Elder. Does that surprise you?
It does surprise
Why
me.
Why is that?
Well, it's a great beer, but it's been a great beer for 10 years already. Isn't there
shouldn't
something...
Shouldn't people be over it?
Well, no. Shouldn't another brewer be inventing a beer to top it, I guess?
Or shouldn't we as consumers be expecting something different when we go to the bar?
Oh, you'll love this part, JP.
Shouldn't we go to the bar and ask for something that we haven't had 8,000 times?
I think 7 or 8 out of the 10 are probably IPAs of some sort.
Probably.
Yeah, that's
true. Well, because we're boring beer drinkers.
Well,
we're boring. Craft beer drinkers are boring.
And not, it's not just that. It's not just that. There's some boring beer buyers.
Yeah.
For example, my local that I go to all the time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, 9 times out of 10, I'm ordering a blind pig. Not because I don't want to try something new, but because the other 9 choices are not better than blind pig.
Well, most of them are IPAs, too.
Even when they're not.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. And lately, there's been a little more variety, but usually, there's a lot of hoppy, high-alcohol beers.
Right.
And that gets boring.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And then I think that I think you are right. That does change the perception of the craft beer buyer where, gee, I must be not drinking the right thing. They must not have what is really cool because I don't want anything. So now I'm just going to have a IPA because it's up there.
Right.
There's 8 of them up there, so it must be good.
Is number 2 another IPA?
It's Two Hearted Ale from Bell's. Is that an IPA?
Yes.
It is. Well, and it's actually the second year in a row that was the runner up.
That's
so
a great.
No
beer.
One's challenging the top two.
Number 3,
Dogfish 90 Minute.
So when was the last time the top 5 changed? Is what I want to know because I know that 90 Minute's been up there too. What's number 4?
That is Founders Kentucky Breakfast Stout, not an IPA.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. Founders makes some good.
There you
beer.
Go, JP.
And then Bell's Hop Slam.
There we go.
So 4 out of the top 5 are IPA.
What is wrong with you people?
They're actually double IPAs, for that matter. They're Imperial IPAs.
Except for the other Bell's beer is not Two Hearted.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of our friends from Stone, Arrogant Bastard came in at number 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have hoppy, now, hoppy. Fuck you guys. Well, these you guys are the reason why brewers keep making shitty IPAs. Fuck you guys.
And an arrogant bastard is another one that, again, it's not that I don't think it should be at the top, but hasn't it been around long enough that another brewer can come up with another beer
that's
to get
really
us excited about?
Apparently
it's
not.
The test of time. Right? I want to know where these emails are located, because I have a feeling they're mostly Midwest, East Coast.
You do?
Yeah, because they can't get this stuff otherwise, so then when they come out here, that's their most desired beer, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, there's a shortage aspect of
it. All right, I want the whole top 10. Give right. me number 8.
Just so you know, Blind Pig was down at number 43.
Okay.
That's our best-kept secret, by the way.
Yeah, it
and
is.
That's too bad, because...
It's better than Planet of the Elders.
It is right now. I agree with that.
Yep. It's, well, it's not a double IPA anymore, right? He dropped it down to an IPA.
Oh,
yeah,
he did?
6%.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it used to be a double IPA. That was the original.
I see.
Yeah, it's a 6%.
It's a great IPA. Yeah. It's just so dry and awesome. All right, what else you got?
Number 7 was Celebration from Sierra.
I like that. That's
number 8, cool. Another Sierra, Torpedo.
I don't agree with that one.
I could see top 30, but not top 10.
Yeah, that's right. It's a good beer, but not in the top 10. Go on.
9, Stone Ruination.
Good beer.
And then the staple to end all staples at number 10, Sierra Pale Ale.
See? They're all West. I mean, most of them except Dogfish.
They're all citrus hop. They're all citrus hop beers except for the Kentucky
style. Right. They're all West Coast style beers.
Now I got to hear more because I want to know where it changes. Does it ever change?
Not really.
After 20, after 30.
Stone, Sublimely Self Righteous, Sierra. Oh, we got a barley wine at number 12. Bigfoot.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Bourbon County Stout from Goose Island at number 13. Porter. So it does. It starts getting a little more varied after the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, but the first 10 are hard to find beers for people who are not on the West Coast.
Most of them.
So is that what's judging it? How difficult it is to get a beer makes it a better beer that, on your list in your brain. You
that's
know?
My opinion. Because you can't find it. You can't find it, and then
it
and
must
then,
be great. Sure.
Right? Yeah, it's got to be good.
Yeah, the benefit of the doubt.
Makes sense. Yeah. What do you guys think was the 50th? Keep in mind, 50th best beer doesn't make it shitty, but it is number 50.
Yeah. Needle in a haystack. Yeah. Isn't
49.
It?
Fat Damn. Tire.
That's a good guess. Actually.
Red Hook.
Guess.
It doesn't deserve. Oh, never mind.
Janet's Brown from Russian River Brewing Company. What do you think?
It's Prima Pills from Victory. At number 50.
I think I like that beer. Yeah,
that's a nice beer.
Yeah, it's really good.
We've got some Victory beer that was given to us from some listeners at NHC in the fridge right now. We got a lot of beer, gift beers given to us. In fact, somebody gave us a whole flight of the Firestone anniversary beers, starting with 10.
That's an awesome gift.
Wow. Isn't that a, he's like, look, damn. I know. I hear you you know, go on and on about it every year when it comes out. So here I've saved 4 years for you. And
that's
they're in the fridge right now. That was a really amazing gift.
Look, I'm just saying, can we just not drink those until I give birth?
No.
Like, can it be like, hey, Viva's not pregnant anymore. Right. Let's celebrate.
Right.
You sound drunk right now.
Shut up.
I'll think about it.
Before we move to the next story, just a shout out to our guests from the last show, Trogues Nugget Nectar. That came in at number 20.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Got time for a little bit more. What else you got?
Let's do... All right. This is from Michigan. A bill that would allow homebrew to be served in licensed Michigan brew pubs and restaurants has passed the Michigan State House of Representatives.
Wow.
Woo!
Nice.
Bill number 4061 passed by a vote of 105-5. So everywhere except Alabama, the pro beer stuff has been passing with, you know, flying colors.
Well, that's right. An amazing law.
That's different in California. That's unprecedented.
That's different.
That's homebrew being sold in a pub.
Yeah.
Right. That's
is that
awful.
No other states do
no,
that?
No,
not
no,
that I know of.
No. I don't like that.
Why is that bad?
I dislike that. Because there's a lot of shitty homebrew out there.
Well, you don't have to buy it.
No, but I'm saying you get some guy who has a friend, oh, dude, put my beer on, and it tastes like shit. I think that's awful. I don't think that's good.
Well,
if your beer's good enough, then go through a pro brewer and get it cleaned up and then put it out there.
Not everybody is tasty.
What if your beer is good enough as a home brewer and you want to go sell it at your local? Why not?
I don't think it's that good.
How do you know? You don't even know
honestly,
what I'm talking about.
I've had a lot of homebrew.
Well, sure.
It's,
but are
it's
you
good.
Telling me you've never had a homebrew that is as good as a commercial beer?
No, I'm not saying that.
So a guy
but
makes
I'm,
great homebrew that's as good as commercial beer.
You know,
why can't he go sell it at the bar?
Because something feels wrong to me. It feels backwoods to me. I don't like it. I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it.
I think I do like it. Because the other side of that argument is there's also kind of quite a bit of shitty professional beer being sold at the local place, too. So I think the argument has to hold for... If that's the argument, then you have to have a panel of judges to decide which beer is allowed to be sold at all.
You should.
Yeah, I know you would like that.
I don't know, man. Something bothers me about that.
I kind of like that.
This is a law, right? So with the law, it's going to have maybe some contingencies. Like you have to maybe have a health certificate or something.
Well, don't ask those questions because we don't have answers to anything.
No, I'm just proposing this.
You can't ask questions.
It's a law. I'm assuming it's got some parameters that make it a little bit more structured, right? You just can't walk in with an invoice and a big smile on your face and say, here, drink my beer, and it'd be all like infected and shit like
that. Sure, it must have something.
Must be some sort of thing going on. But as a beer drinker, and I assume this will be taking place at places that are craft beer bars, it's going to be an amazing experience to have a homebrew tap up there once a week.
That's I agree.
Completely different beer. It's going to be the consumer is going to be just amazed.
And think about what it does kind of for the very local culture. I mean, craft brewing started as like this, it's your local brewery, it's your local beer. Well, this is like really the local brewery because, it's Joe's at the end of the bar over there. That's who's got the tap handle this month. He lives right around the corner. He stumbles home every night. Yeah. It's his beer we're drinking. And that's like a really local pub experience to me.
Well, think what the experience would be like, right? He brings in a 5-gallon keg, 12 of his buddies show up, and they drink the thing in 10 minutes, you know?
Right.
It's going to be that kind of thing. It's not like it's going to be...
No. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Right. Or the other, I think, upside, too, is let's say a guy like Chad, right?
Mm.
Totally unemployed, this poor bastard. Brewing a lot of beer, though. Costs money to brew that beer. He brews 10 gallons at a time. He keeps 5 at the house because I force him to. He goes and sells the other 5 down at the local. And he gets his money back. He's not going to make any money, but it paid for the batch of beer.
Well, wait a second. So it's legal in California? I thought you guys said this was
legal. No, it's not. But if it was, that's what I'm saying he could do.
So they're buying it under the table then?
No, they're not doing it. It's illegal to sell homebrew that way. No, and they're not buying anything.
They're not buying.
There's no homebrew being poured at a local bar here.
I see.
No. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying this would be great. You know, right now, Chad's fucked. He goes and spends money. I drink it all. But if this law were to be passed here, Chad gets at least gets his money back.
He'll be running out the door with the kegs instead of you'll be chasing after him.
Yeah. Hey!
Here we go.
Give me my beer back. I mean, it's not so weird in the fact that, you know, like a tamale lady, right? She opens her cooler on the side of the road. She's selling tamales instead of going to a taqueria. I mean, it's not like out of the question, this kind of
But I don't buy shit from the tamale later either.
But sometimes it's better,
you're
right?
I
was driving down the fucking road and some dude was selling pupusas for $2. And I'm like, really? I'm going to buy your fucking homemade pupusa with your fucking 8 people live in the kitchen and your unwashed hands and all this kind of shit that I have no idea where it comes from
at all.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know what I mean? I have no idea where it comes from. So I look at that creepy tamale lady and I go, get the fuck out of here. $3 for a piece of shit tamale?
I'll get a tamale and one of those bacon wrapped hot dogs.
Until you try that tamale, it's damn good.
It's not.
So
it's
I guess
boring.
You have a problem with a toothless homebrewer then, I guess.
You're right. He doesn't take care of himself. His beer must be shit.
I've had that guy's beer.
There's
it's
like
not
six
good.
Guys in that brewery who knows if their hands are clean.
Yeah.
Just a little background. Go up to Toronado in the Haight district of San Francisco, there's this woman that everyone calls the tamale lady. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she comes by a couple of times a night, once around 9 o'clock and once around like 1 a.m., you know? And she goes into the local bars there, and she sells her tamales
Shit out of those tamales.
Dude, and they're good-ass tamales.
Sure. I don't know. I had one, and I'm like, it was very small and just kind of bland. I was like, really? $3 for this? All right.
$3?
Great.
I mean,
it's $3.
$3?
What else are you getting for $3?
You can get a slice of pizza for less than that.
Yeah.
And it better.
You don't know how many Italians are living in that house making that pizza.
Yeah, how many greasy
Italians. It's from a company, It's from a company. Plus some lady who, by the way,
stamped and approved
is
by the company.
Is healthy. Not paying taxes. So right. She is not helping her local community. Boom. Fuck you. She is not helping her local community. So you guys, therefore, are not helping your local community. You're all bad to local citizens. She's not paying taxes.
There was logic there, so.
I have heard that, but
I don't
care. Yeah, she's not paying taxes.
I don't care if she's not paying taxes. She's also not living a very great life. Or
she might be.
She could be making a fortune
off of those tamales.
Yeah, she goes home to her mansion on the hill, changes out of those dirty old clothes.
I've seen her get into that Escalade with the chrome rims at the end of the night.
Yeah, she just walks around the corner.
So the Hudacek brothers, I guess, will be selling their home brew, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's their state, isn't
it?
Yeah,
their state. Uh-oh. Yeah, Michigan, yeah.
I have a feeling that in 6 months, no bar is going to be carrying homebrew. None. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be one of those
backfire miserably.
One of those boring laws that just gets passed because someone gets a hair up their ass, and then it's just going to die because the homebrew that they're going to be carrying is not good.
I can't believe they passed it at all.
Overwhelmingly, 105 to 5.
That's bizarre. Who even put this up? Who wants to? I don't know. The whole thing. Really, is that the worst thing that has to happen in that fucking state where they have to go, hey, I want to sell homebrew? Nah, I'm sure the roads are fine and their homeless problem is fine and everything's great.
Well, it doesn't take away resources from
those. No, but I'm saying it takes up time in their house to pass a fucking bullshit law that
apparently,
three-fourths of the bars probably won't even try to implement in their bar.
But apparently by that vote, it took all of about 36 seconds.
I don't know.
You know,
everybody loved it.
I want to report back to find out how many locals start pouring beer. I think it's a fantastic idea.
I do too.
We should get the guys who pushed this thing through on the show and see how they did.
For sure.
Yeah.
And we want to do JP can yell at them for a half.
And
an
we
hour.
Want to do this in California. That's what I'm thinking. We should be embarrassed. We didn't do it first.
I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. I'll mark it and I'll follow up. See if I can pin down a couple of the guys, the representatives. All right. Is that it? Are we going to do more?
Give me another one. What else you got?
I'm going to throw up.
All right. From Los Angeles. On Tuesday, the owners of the Eagle Rock Brewery will go before City Hall in an effort to prove that the brewery has been in full compliance with its conditional use permit, the license that allows the company to serve beer in the brewery's tasting room.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that place.
Though president and brewer Jeremy Raub said he is confident the city will ruin the brewery's favor, he stressed that this hearing should not be taken lightly. He said, every time we have to go through one of these processes with the city, it costs a significant amount of time and money, paperwork, application filing, blah, blah, blah. I think we have to treat every one of these situations as a very real threat to our business.
So what? So somebody wants to turn them in for some sort of noncompliance. Are they really allowed to be serving beer there? I'm not sure they should be allowed to do that.
That was part of the story I admitted that's exactly what happened.
Okay. It's always like that.
It's in a weird residential rundown neighborhood with you go down the street to dead end street, bars on every window. The place doesn't even have a sign. It's creepy as fuck. But inside it's beautiful. Great brewery. Fantastic beers.
And
some of the best beers
awesome.
In Southern California.
It's the first brewery in Los Angeles in 50 years or some ridiculous thing.
It's great. They make great beer. They're great dudes. I hate to see them leave.
Well, I don't think they will, hope.
If they get voted down, right?
Right.
Really?
They violated their use permit.
The first craft brewery in LA in 50. Like, I know.
Don't quote me on the number, but they're the first one in a long, long time.
In LA proper, yeah. I have gathered how far behind LA is in the craft beer thing. I can't believe it. I mean, it's Los Angeles, man. Yeah.
They've sucked for a long time.
Yep.
And
just like their baseball team.
I've had some of the other beer in the LA area.
Yeah.
And well, let's just say Eagle Rock's doing a real good thing for that area.
It's about time.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of... It's a huge customer base. Why is everyone slacking?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a big foodie place, too, right? Restaurants all over the place.
Well, I think that's all kind of weird, right?
Yeah. Maybe it was that it's a big pain in the ass. I don't think that Eagle Rock had it easy making that happen either. So it might have just been, not good at promoting. Well,
they just bring great beer in from San Diego and call it good.
The
Mexicans drink a ton of light lager, so maybe that's the problem. But then San Diego has that killer scene, so
yeah. Right. Yeah, he did say the Mexicans, but he's Jewish, Bevo. It's all right.
Was Bevo acting offended?
Yeah.
I hope everything goes well for those. Basically, them and the brewery are my two favorite SoCal breweries right now. Eagle Rock is rad.
Where's the brewery down in Placenta? That's what it's called. All right, well, I hope that they don't get busted for that. I know that they've been following the rules down there because they'd be stupid not to,
right?
They know how difficult it's been to get that thing,
and the community supports them. You go down there any given night and it's packed. I mean, it's a small room, but it's packed.
Well, that's why some dickwad in the neighborhood complained, because he saw a big party going on over there and he wasn't a part of it, and he thought, well, that can't be legal, I'm gonna call somebody.
Right.
And then Eagle Rock gets screwed over it. That's it. Mind your own business, everybody.
Yeah.
Can't you do that? Why don't people do that?
That's what you get for having multi-language forms to fill out.
Is that what you think it was in another language? I don't understand.
It's a very diverse neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's ridiculous. I hope they do well.
Well, that's the beer news. More next week.
Thanks, Moscow, for bringing the beer news back. I appreciate that.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, it's time to speak to Zach Tremert from Lucky Bucket Brewing this time. We'll find out what's been happening since we last spoke to him in 2007 and learn about brewing beer over there and also about distilling, because I know he's big into that. So hang in there. It's the session, and we'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Summertime has arrived, home brewers, and the fine folks at More Beer are thirsty. With the arrival of summer's heat, More Beer's got you covered with great deals on temperature control and some fantastic lawnmower beer kits. Ranko and Johnson temperature controllers, thermowells, and thermometers, as well as light and refreshing beer kits you're going to love this hot summer. Stay on top of your home brew's temperature and keep your kegs topped up, too. Summertime beer and gears from your friends at More Beer and morebeer.com.
Nico, listen, our lawyer said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in the can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Pintly is your personal beer connoisseur, and you don't even have to leave a tip. Pintly.com learns your taste in beer. Create a free account today and start by rating a few beers. In just a couple of clicks, Pintly will get to know you and your personal preferences. You won't believe how accurate Pintly's amazing algorithm can be as it learns what pleases your palate most. Personal beer recommendations, tasting notes, and now their new app for your Android or iPhone smartphone. Pintly also gives away incredible prizes each month. Prizes like free craft beer for a year. Visit Pintly.com right now to see how it works or to create your own free account. Pintly, a new kind of beer website that only recommends beer you're sure to love. Pintly.com.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
The Brewing Network, saving your life.
One beer at a time.
Hey! 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 Hey!
right, welcome back to the program, everybody. We got Zach Tremert on the line with us. We're going to get to that in just a second. Justin.tv/Brewing Network. You can go over there and check it out. You can watch the live studio cam going on there. Trying to get the multiple cam thing going, but I don't think it's going to happen during this show. New equipment. Trying to figure it out. So just hang in there. Justin.tv/Brewing Network. You can join the chat by hitting the chat now button on the homepage, and the Beeve is in there taking your questions to hand them over to us. And any questions you've got for Zach over at Lucky Bucket. And I think that Moscow right now is pouring us some of your beer. Zach, are you there, buddy?
I am. How you guys doing?
Doing great. It's nice to talk to you again, man.
Yeah, you bet. Likewise.
So, Zach, you knew that after you got off the show on the last program, it turned into a very stripper Christmas?
I did. I was only bummed I wasn't there with you guys.
It was a good show.
You didn't miss much.
That was a crazy night.
Bevo, he missed a lot. Are you kidding? I'm always afraid to ask Zach, I'll be honest with you, because we do these great interviews with brewers, and then we go and dick around for the last hour. And right. I'm always afraid. You know, my feeling is that most brewers are totally cool with it. They have a great sense of humor, and they would have a good time if they were here. But I'm always afraid to ask because I don't want the answer to be, no, that sucked. You ruined my interview. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you got to know, most of us, I think almost all of us are pretty cool and just regular guys and gals.
Right, and gals, right, who would love a good stripper Christmas show, I'm sure.
Of course.
Yeah, that duck. Doc ended that show with a fairly severe injury after that program. It was a big moment in BN history that you were a part of, Zach.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Glad I could help.
So, what beer did you just pour us, Moscow?
This is the pre-prohibition lager.
Can we get this here, or did Zach?
No,
send it to
he
you?
Sent this to us.
Oh, thanks, Zach.
He overnighted it to me, actually. So, thank
cheers,
you, Zach.
Man.
Enjoy. I'm having one as well.
Perfect. It's tasty.
I'm actually in a local bar right now. It's a local pizza joint across from the brewery. I'm sitting in their tasting room having a beer and watching everybody else enjoy themselves. The brewery is just so hot right now. It's too damn hot to sit in there and have a conversation. So I'm sitting in the air conditioning. It's quite lovely.
Good. I'm glad you found a comfortable spot, which kind of begs the question. So you're just a production facility then, right? No, you're not a brew pub.
Correct. Yeah, we're just a production facility. We make beer and spirits.
And are you allowed to have a tasting room there?
We are.
You are. Okay.
And so we do have a tasting room. If anybody's had a chance to see it, you'll know that I built it out of things I had.
Nice.
So it's not terribly fancy, but it works great. But we are in the middle of construction of a brand new 2,000 square foot tasting room that will kind of change the look and the feel of the place.
So when you say you built it out of things you had, so is the bar like an old F-150 pickup truck, and the wall is like a bathroom sink? I mean, what, you just put a bunch of junk in there?
Pretty close. No, I took a couple of the oak barrels I had, tipped them upright so I could build a tabletop. Took some old plywood I had and built a bar, and I had a sheet of stainless steel and some copper. So I laid out the stainless steel, glued it to the top of the plywood, and trimmed it in copper. So it turned out pretty cool, but it was literally just things I had laying around.
Well, that sounds like a good bar to me. I like that.
Oh, yeah, it worked out okay.
Kind of that home feel.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
Now, where is your brewery located, Zach?
Well, we are just a suburb of Omaha, Nebraska. It's La Vista, Nebraska.
Okay. And so, where is that in relation to your last, what was Upstream? Was that the last brewery?
Yep. Upstream is a brew pub that has two locations in the city. And one's right downtown, the other's way on the west side of the city. And my brewery's right in between the two of them.
Okay, nice. So I guess the question is, you left Upstream shortly after we spoke to you. Yep. And I know a lot of brewers who do this, and I think the question is why, and really what I mean is, why open your own brewery? What was the advantage to you?
It was just something I really wanted to do. I mean, I knew I wanted to be a brewer, you know, back when I was in college. It's, you know, so I made it to where I wanted to be, but, you know, then the next level of, you know, starting and owning your own brewery is something that really, you know, appealed to me. And of course, before you do it, you don't even really know what that means.
Right.
It's been quite a road, but it's fantastic, and I'm thrilled with my choice. And, you know, the people at Upstream, you know, have been terrific to me and to our company, and the people of Nebraska and all the other states we're in now have supported us so much. It's been a great transition.
Well, that's good to have the support of a brewery you worked for a while. So,
yeah,
especially if it's in the same neighborhood, too.
Right.
So tell me, what did you learn that you didn't know? What was the most fucked up experience that you've had opening your home brewery?
Well, I don't know if I would call any of it terribly fucked up, but one thing that I learned, and, you know, I get asked this a lot, you know, as far as, you know, what kind of business advice would you give out, you know, for someone who's looking to start their own brewery? And starting a brewery is no different than starting any other business. So many people get involved because they're, you know, they love brewing. You know, I started out as a home brewer, and you want to get into that business. But remember that you are starting a business. It's no different than starting a computer company or a widget manufacturing company. You got to have every arm out there. You got to have your, you know, accounting and cash flow lined out. You've got to, you know, make sure you have enough time to manage sales and distribution. And so making beer is really one of the easiest things we do. Bottling beer is one of the hardest things we do. I mean, that's tough. Bottling beer is takes a lot of focus and a lot of energy.
Okay.
You're not bottling by hand, are you?
We have. That's how we started out. We were doing bombers by hand, you know, back in early 2009.
Wow.
And then we got this forehead inline machine that would do about, I don't know, you know, it was sold to me, you know, saying it was supposed to do, you know, 60 cases an hour. We were lucky to get 30 out of it.
Okay.
And but we did a lot of modifications to it, added a couple more heads, and we got it running pretty good, and we got almost 1 million bottles through the machine.
Wow.
Before we sold it. So it, we ended up, it works really pretty well. So I learned another really good business lesson. We started out with 6 40-barrel fermentation vessels, and we only started with that much is because we bought a used brewery out of Buffalo, New York, and that's what came with the system. I didn't think over the course of the lifetime of our business we would need that much fermentation. And after 1 year, it wasn't enough. We needed more.
Wow.
And we brought in 6 120-barrel fermenters to add to that. So we essentially tripled our capacity.
And how big is your brew house?
It's a 25-barrel brew house.
So how does that work when you have a 120-barrel fermenter?
We just keep brewing. So we brew around the clock from Sunday to Friday, and we can get the 120-barrel fermentation full in about 24 hours.
Okay. Wow.
So, but the lesson that I learned there is we fixed the bottleneck of fermentation, and when you fix a bottleneck, all you do is create another bottleneck.
Right.
So our little filler that was, you know, doing, you know, at the time, you know, probably 40 cases of beer an hour, we could get the beer out the door fast enough. We couldn't get these tanks empty in time.
Okay.
So we put in a new packaging line. We got this old German filler, Holden Fleiss. It was built in Germany in 1972. It's older than I am.
Nice.
And but it's a 24-head rotary filler that does 250 cases of beer an hour.
Dude, it's German. Of course it still works good.
That's super efficient.
That's a lot of beer, man.
That is
it's
a lot of beer.
Awesome. I mean, I'm still, you know, we're such a little brewery, and I'm sure there's people listening out there that own and run some of these big craft breweries out there. I'm tickled to be at 250 cases of beer an hour. It's just, wow. It's unbelievable to me.
Right. Exactly.
How many pallets is that?
Well, we do about 70 cases on a pallet.
Okay.
So we're doing, you know, a pallet of beer really fast.
Every 15 minutes. That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah. So we got three guys. And we're still putting bottles onto the line by hand and taking them off by hand. So we're putting these bottles in boxes. I got three guys on the pack-off table just jamming.
It's a race. Wow.
How many barrels are you on track to produce this year versus last? Must be tremendous growth.
Yeah, our first year we did 855. Then in our second year, which was last year, we did a little over 4,000.
Wow.
And,
nice.
Nice jump, man.
Thanks. Yeah. I got to tell you, it hurt a little bit.
I bet.
But this year, we're on track to do somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 barrels.
So, wow.
Doubling. Nice.
Why do you think that is? I mean, obviously, you're making good beer. So don't give me... that's probably part of the equation, too. But what else? I mean, is it a marketing plan that you did? Do the people just love your story? Why do you think you were able to jump like that?
Well, I think it's three important things. You know, obviously, the liquid has to be good.
Yeah.
people have to, you know, go back to it and enjoy it time and time again. But then the branding has to be good as well. And, you know, I'm proud of our brand. I wanted something that had a, you know, classic look and feel. I didn't want our company to be a flash in the pan. I wanted a look that, you know, looks like it could be around for a few years.
Yeah, it looks really good.
And then you have to have a good marketing plan. And on top of it, sort of a fourth piece is you need to have great distribution partners. And our distribution partner has been fantastic. You know, we started out with just one here in Omaha. They're the Miller Coors Distribution House. And they just knocked it out of the park. All the negative things you hear from brewers about, you know, complaining about their distribution partner, we have not experienced that. We've been really fortunate on that end. So we've got all four of those things working, and I think that's, you know, what we can contribute to our success. And I mean, we've all, myself, my partner, and our guys, we're on the ground constantly. We're still doing, you know, four promotions a week at least, out, you know, talking with people, sharing our beer, and we just haven't let up. And it's just fun, and the people have been great to us. We feel very fortunate.
So it sounds to me like if you love brewing, that's the easy part. If you're going to enjoy owning your own brewery, you better love marketing, and you better love doing some books, and you better love creating and
bringing some capital. Yeah.
But there's a lot of parts of it too. Like, for example, I hate numbers. I would never be able to do that. But I would like the marketing part. I would love going out there doing promotions and things like that, and certainly creating the beer. But you can't just think about the beer if you want to be as successful as a Lucky Bucket, you know.
Yeah, you got to think of all the bits and pieces. And, you know, I tried doing the accounting myself for the first year. And, you know, if you don't like doing it, it's the first thing that you push off till the next day.
Right.
And I got so far behind, I knew I needed some help. And so we brought in someone on a temporary basis. And she really helped, you know, get us, you know, up to where we needed to be. And then we got to the point where someone part-time just wasn't going to cut it, because you need to look at the books every day. You know, everybody, you know, talk about business, and there's another business lesson I learned. There's only one reason companies go out of business. You know what that is?
Give me it.
You run out of money.
All right. Good point. Let me write that down.
The obvious one, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so now we've got a full-time accountant on staff. Young kid just graduated from Creighton Graduate School. And he's out there, you know, doing this, you know, helping us make good financial decisions every day. And that's something we probably should have done sooner. It's an easy thing to just push off till the next day. And
sure,
it's been a great thing for us.
Because I think when you start to look at your company and you start to look at all the facets of it, you realize, well, I can do them all. I can do the accounting. I can do all these things. But what you have to end up answering is, which ones am I going to do, but I'm going to do very poorly? You know, I'm not going to do what needs to be done. And I think that's the point where, like, most of us who started these beer businesses, mine and I think yours and a lot of the other craft breweries, we didn't go to business school. You know, there's very few of us that are Jim Cook from Sam Adams, who's like 2 degrees from Harvard in business, right? He got the big picture when he started his company. He knew it. But most of us didn't.
So did I.
And so, really?
Speak for yourself.
JP also went to business school.
Yeah.
But you have to realize
I drove by it.
What you're good at and what you suck at. And I think that the longer it takes you to realize what you suck at, the longer it's going to take your business to be healthy and functional and grow like it should. You know,
that's absolutely true. And, you know, I've been fortunate to surround myself with people that not only work hard, but I try to surround myself with people that are smarter than I am.
Yes.
And I've been able to do it, and we've got a fantastic team.
So is Justin, which is weird, too. Yeah.
Actually, I will say that is my philosophy in almost everything.
You're welcome.
When I was a musician, it was to hire everybody in the band way better than I am. Surround myself with fantastic musicians, because I was not a very good musician.
It makes you better.
And when I got into homebrewing, surround myself with great homebrewers.
Well, that didn't make
you know
better.
That did not make me a better homebrewer, but it did get me to here. And so anyway, I'm just saying, like, Zach, that does sound like an obvious thing, but I don't think people do that. I think that there's an ego involved that with some people that makes them want to be the best at all of it. But I think a smarter move is to make yourself the worst at all of it. Surround yourself with people that are better. You know.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And now, are you still brewing all the beer?
No, I'm not. I get into the brew house you know, a couple times a month and hang with the guys and help out a bit. But we're brewing around the clock now, and it's my job has really become managing growth, managing distribution, and I'm essentially the only salesperson for the company as well. So I'm on the road meeting with our other distribution partners and, you know, talking to the people that are out there drinking beer.
Right.
Do you find yourself missing being in the brew house every day?
Oh, absolutely. And so that's why I try to get myself in there whenever I can, you know, get an opportunity to do it. And, I, you know, I'm still very much involved with development and quality control and those kinds of things. But our brewers, I mean, they're just doing a great job. They don't need any babysitting. They completely get it. And it's been exciting to see because we don't have any guys that brew for us right now that started out as commercial brewers. We trained everybody up from the beginning. They're just people who were passionate about it and wanted to do it and loved it. And these guys are knocking it out of the park. It's really great to see.
You know, we've heard quite a few brewers come in here and say that's the way to do it. Is not necessarily to hire the guy who's been brewing for 10 years because he comes with all his old habits and whatever. You don't get to mold him the way you want to.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think that has worked out very well for us. Not that I wouldn't, you know, hire someone with experience. I just actually hired a new brewer from Minneapolis who's coming down. He starts in 2 weeks to take over our night shift brewing. And what I love about this guy is he didn't have a commercial brewing job, but he had spent a lot of time in commercial breweries, helping out whenever he could, learning the business, learning how to brew, avid home brewer, and he had applied at a whole bunch of, you know, not a whole bunch, but several other breweries because he wanted to brew so bad.
Right.
And that's what I tell people. You got to have the passion. You got to know that brewing is hot, sweaty, dirty, low pay, long hours, and you're, you know, a glorified janitor in, you know, a lot of respects. So yeah. The only way you're going to succeed and do good at the job is to really love it. Otherwise, you're going to hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be hungry and you got to love it.
Well, you even need to do that for being a janitor.
I think I agree. I think any gig
love,
is like that.
Pouring sawdust on puke.
Or else I'm the best it. At it. Yeah. Well, I think Moscow is a good example of that in here. The other people in the room, I begged to come work for free for me. Moscow begged me to come work for free.
Oh, how dare
he was
you.
Like, come on, let me be a part of it. And I ignored him for a while. Come on, let me be a part of it. But it let me know, well, I can really abuse this kid. He really wants to be here.
I thought it's just because I kicked so much ass on the terrestrial show.
Yeah,
that's
no
choice
you,
but to bring you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
It was better than you.
But like any gig, you're so much more of a valuable player to the team if you're that hungry and you love it. Moscow loves radio. You want a brewer who loves beer, you know.
Yep.
Not just a job that looks better than his desk job. Because it always does look better, doesn't it? Until you're raking out that mash tun for the 50th time, and then you hate yourself.
Yeah, when I'm interviewing people, I always, you know, kind of let them know that being a brewer is kind of like looking at the old pyramid. And the bottom of the pyramid is where you spend most of your day. And that's all the hot, sweaty, dirty, hard work. You know, it's only so often you get to sit on the top of pyramid and, you know, drink your beer with your friends and your family and enjoy the fact that, you know, you've created this wonderful thing. That's only a small part of your job.
Right.
It's all the hard work.
It's a lot like porn, I think. You know, usually, you know what I'm saying? The product. Yeah.
You're cleaning up messes.
You're at the bottom most of the time.
You're a glorified janitor.
Right.
Fluffing. Hey, Zach, so I know you've probably spent a lot of time in bars, but what have you kind of learned going around just doing the sales job? Like, I know you had a hand in the draft quality manual, and, you know, are you doing a lot of education with bars on cleaning lines and doing that? Is that a big part of your job?
Every chance I get, you know, the more I can get to do work with the servers and bartenders and the staff and talk about quality and beer styles, you know, I try to do as much just beer education as I can, not just, you know, talking about Lucky Bucket because it just makes everybody better. And nailing down staff is, you know, one of the hardest things to do because they're all busy and they have busy lives. But we take every opportunity we can to do that, you bet.
Cool.
Zach, can you tell us a little bit about your lager? We're drinking that now. I really enjoy the nice clean finish on it. In fact, when it finishes so clean, I can taste your water almost.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's really
you know, it's a beer we're really proud of because, you know, it's risky as a small craft brewery to come out with a beer that is light as it is. But we really felt like there was a bit of a hole in the market. There are very few craft lagers. Yeah. And, you know, we're in a market that right now in the craft, you know, scene is really, it's just now really starting to develop. And so, you know, craft beer market share is growing pretty rapidly. We're, you know, really thrilled to be a part of it. But there's a lot of people that still perceive craft beer as being dark and heavy and bitter and high in alcohol, and that's why they don't like craft beer.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go and help teach people that craft beer is more than, you know, those negative connotations that people that aren't familiar with craft beer are using. And so this pre-prohibition style lager to me is somewhat of a mantra. I get static about it because, you know, we didn't use corn or we didn't use an old recipe that I dug out of a, you know, a chest I found underneath, you know, Uncle Tom's cabin.
Yeah.
It's a mantra for me because, you know, before Prohibition, there were, you know, thousands of breweries making interesting and flavorful beer. And Prohibition wiped it out. And, it, you know, after Prohibition, there was kind of just one style of beer for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted beer that was light and easy to drink that also had great beer flavor like beer did before Prohibition. And so it's something we're proud of. And you know, I call it drink all day beer. So it's craft beer that you can drink all day, enjoy with your friends, and you know, have the great flavor.
And, yeah. like I say, it's an easy transition beer from people that aren't used to drinking microbrewed beers to your world.
Absolutely. And I hear that a lot. People, I had a guy come into my brewery. Yeah, you know, and this story is so over the top. And he came into my brewery, and he said, "Zach, Lucky Bucket changed my life."
I'm now living on the streets.
Right.
He got laid.
I said, "Oh my God, what is wrong with this guy? I thought he was on crack or something." But, you know, I was curious. I said, "Please explain." He said, "Well, before I tried Lucky Bucket, you know, I only drank, you know, the light domestic lagers." And he said, "One of my friends said, you just have to try this beer." And so he tried Lucky Bucket pre-prohibition lager and really enjoyed it. And so the next time he went to the store, he looked at the sea of craft beer that he's never looked at before. And he tried something new, brought it home, enjoyed it. Went back to the store, looked at it, and tried another thing. And now he's trying all these new craft beers and experiencing beer in a way he never had before. And Lucky Bucket Lager was that bridge for him. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, you were his gateway drug.
Yeah, absolutely.
That
and I'm happy
cool.
to be that for people.
Right. Now, did you say that you did or did not put corn in this beer? I didn't catch.
I did not.
You did not.
It's an all malt beer.
What can you tell us about the malt?
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, 2-row base. Then I've got Munich malt in there and just a little bit of caramel malt to add to the color and give it a bit of dimension.
And is it a house yeast that you use, or is this, you know, something that we can get like from White Labs or something?
It is something you can get from White Labs. It's one of their lager yeasts,
okay.
And it works really well for us.
Yeah, because I feel like the maybe Tasty and Chad JP too could help me with this. I feel like the yeast profile is a big part of this beer.
It's a huge part.
Super clean.
Yeah.
It's clean, but there's also a flavor that's coming from it. It's a really good flavor. It's doing something to the malt. Where, in other words, you didn't choose an understated yeast. I feel like you chose an overstated yeast because it's really a part of the flavor.
Yep.
Zach, can you tell?
I wanted to make sure this beer had flavor.
Can you, would you mind telling us what yeast you used?
It's not something that we generally talk about.
Okay.
But it's in the catalogs, and I bet you could figure it out.
How about just like a fermentation? Can you talk about the, you know, fermentation profile and what temperatures you did use it at and things like that?
Yeah, we ferment fairly cool. We're usually fermenting at 50 degrees Fahrenheit for the first 7 days, and then we drop down the temperature. Down to about 35 for another 4 weeks.
Okay.
This beer is also dry hopped, correct?
Yep. We dry hop in our maturation tank before we filter it and send it to the bright tank.
What kind of hops are in the beer?
We have Magnum, Liberty, Herzbrucker, and Cascade.
Okay. God, I would have even guessed some noble hops in there.
Yeah,
I was thinking that's what you were going
to
say.
It's nice that there's a citrus hop complexity to it. I think that's adding a little bit to maybe what you're picking up, Justin, for some of the complexity, where the yeast locks into the flavor. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good combo, too, of hops.
Yeah.
It seems pretty varied.
And is there more than one of those hops in the dry hop?
Yeah, we are using the Cascade and I think we're actually, we just started using a touch Amarillo in there because it's done some really neat things with our IPA. And so we just added that, and it's fairly interesting.
Nice. It's a good beer. Oh, they're passing me your IPA now, too. Dude, your labels are awesome. Your logo, it does have that classic feel that you were going for, but it doesn't look old. I mean, like you said, you wanted to live on for a little while, and I think whoever you use did a great job.
Thank you.
There's just something about, too, that like 1920s and 30s feel. It's just so, you know, everything from then, the architecture, it's just like a classy look.
It's good stuff.
Not to blow too much smoke up your ass, Zach, but I do dig it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, the IPA, I feel like your house flavor right now is clean and crisp, because the IPA has the same really clean flavor and crisp flavor as the lager does.
Yeah, we ferment. I mean, we use an ale yeast for that, obviously, but we ferment it cooler than a lot of IPAs that are done out there, because I really like that word drinkability.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm disappointed that someone else is using it so much, because it's a great word.
It is.
Actually, this is a true story. So I wrote the description that's on the side of the lager bottle label. And in one of the initial variants, I had the word drinkability in there. And I showed it to bartenders around town, and I said, what do you think of this? How will people read this? Will they know what that word means? And everybody said, don't use that word. That's an industry term. Nobody will know what the word drinkability means.
Right. That's a good point.
How could you not know what that word means?
Well, I know. So I took it out of there, and literally 2 months later, AB started their drinkability campaign.
Right.
It's a great campaign. It's a great word.
And now everybody knows what it means because of
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now it's a cliche.
So when you say you ferment cooler, what are we talking, like 64 or less, even lower than that?
No, it's not lower than that. We're in the high 60s.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I just see a lot that are done, over 70, but we're in the high 60s.
Got it. Yeah, this IPA is real nice, too. And it's a different kind of IPA. It's not punchy in the face and bitter. It's just clean and crisp IPA. I like it.
Well,
this is what IPA should be.
We work hard on the aroma. I hope you have some decent glasses over there, because we put the hops obviously in the kettle, but we're using a hop back with all fresh raw flower hops, and then we also dry hop pretty significantly. So I took this old yeast brink and turned it into a hop back, and it really works well. We use all Centennial and Amarillo fresh raw flower hops in the hop back.
Nice.
And it I love that about that beer. And then we dry hop with both of those hops as well. And the amount of hops we use is absolutely ridiculous.
Really?
I get a lot of static because the IPA is on the shelf, a buck, buck and a half, $2 more than the lager a lot of the time. And people tell me that I don't know how to price beer, and I'm gouging the consumer. So when I tell them how much hops we're using, we literally were using 20 times more hops in the IPA than we use in the lager.
Okay.
So it's a lot.
Do you know what that is in, like, pounds per barrel or anything?
I can figure that out. We're putting roughly 200 pounds of hops in a 20-barrel batch.
Okay.
So it's 10 pounds a barrel.
Okay.
Well,
nice.
I bet it's hard to hear them as your Ferrari peels out in the parking lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be upside, I think.
Right.
So there's that.
So what about the malt profile on this? Because when we're talking about dryness, it's not just the yeast and how you ferment it, is it? It's what's being fermented.
Mm, absolutely.
So tell us how to get a dry, crisp beer. What do you do to the malt?
I love it.
I mean, mash temperature is probably one of the most important things. If you want a beer that finishes sweet or a beer that finishes, a bit dry. And so our mash temperature is fairly low. It's around 150, 152.
Okay.
And that allows the specific gravity to come down pretty far. I think that falls to about between a 10-12 and a 10-14.
Got it.
I think it balanced out real well with the hops. We really, care a lot about how the whole beer drinks and not just having an IPA that's super bitter.
Right. Are you putting crystal malt in it?
Yes.
You are. And is that so here's the thing that a lot of brewers talk about is, whether or not you're using a lot of crystal malt or a little crystal malt. But recently, I've had a beer Kind of went everything we've ever been told. The guy had had a lot of crystal malt in it, but it still finished dry. He was able to somehow balance it. So do you have a limit on how much crystal malt you can put in?
You know, I don't know if there's a limit. We don't use a whole lot. I mean, as you can see, you know, the color of the beer is, it's just a little bit darker than the lager, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's a few shades deeper. So we can get some of that, you know, malt character in there.
Right.
I'm happy with how it turned out. You know, as an IPA, if we threw this in with, you know, all of the gigantic IPAs out there, it's probably not going to win any big awards. But it's such a great drinking beer. Get into a glass, swirl it, get your nose in there.
Yeah.
I love it.
It wins the Give Me Another Glass Award, is what it
does.
Because it doesn't ruin your palate on the first one, and it's not too sweet.
We should actually make that award for the B&A Sick.
We really should.
Brewing Network Awards, or whatever we call
Because it's a rare beer, isn't it?
Right.
Now, it's the
it,
Give
actually,
Me Another
Nowadays, it is, yeah.
Give Me Another Glass Award.
The GMAG.
Yeah.
Trademarked. It's now trademarked.
You got some huge aromatics from that hop back on this beer, I think, too. That's really lending some nice complexity to it.
Yeah, Zach. Is that a closed hop back? What's that thing? What's it like? What do you do?
It is closed. It will build pressure probably to about 4 PSI.
Okay.
And then it'll start to blow off.
So wort passing through it, what is this life like? Is it get compacted against hops or just swirl
around?
Okay,
so the way the design works is it's an old yeast break. It's about a four-barrel tank, if you will, that has a conical-shaped bottom. And so I welded in some mesh in the bottom to hold the hops up off the bottom of the cone.
Right.
We fill it full with the fresh raw flower hops. And in the top of the hop back is the old spray ball for the yeast brink.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wort literally goes through the spray ball and gets sprayed over the hops until it fills up and they're completely saturated.
Okay.
And so the wort's coming in from the top and being pulled out the very bottom as it comes through the all the fresh raw flower hops. It takes about an hour and 20 minutes to get 20 barrels of wort through it and into the fermentation vessels.
So there is a friction point there. You're actually sucking the beer through the bed of hops.
Yep.
Nice.
That just sounds like a giant Randall.
It's
a great idea.
That's a cool way to repurpose an old yeast brink, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well done. And then how the hell do you get all that stuff out of there? Does the whole top come off of that thing?
Oh, I wish. When I designed this thing, I did not think ahead.
Okay. All right.
and so we're shoveling it out through the manway. There's a, a 1.5, or 16, 18 inch diameter manway on top. So we have to shovel it out of there. And the last stuff that comes out, it's pretty laborious. I think a couple of our guys would be thrilled when we put together a different program.
Right.
But well, it works for now.
Yeah, it certainly works. This beer is excellent.
It is an excellent
beer. Yeah, really nice beer.
IPA.
Do you sell this beer at the same rate as the pre-prohibition lager in terms of barrels? Are they about equal, or is one kind of surpass the other?
Well, it depends on the market. Here in Omaha and in Lincoln and all of Nebraska, the lager is what we're selling by far. I mean, it's 85% of our sales.
Wow.
But in other markets, Minneapolis and Nashville, the IPA is outselling the lager pretty significantly, probably 3 or 4 to 1. And we're just getting great results out of some of these markets. We're in Nashville. They're drinking IPA like it's crack. I just found out that the
same here,
at the Whole Foods in Nashville, our IPA is the number one selling beer there right now.
Nice work.
Congrats.
Which is crazy. I didn't see that bus coming. I'm heading back down for a second time in a few weeks for the Music Brews Fest. And I love the city. I used to live in Tennessee. That's why we're in that market.
Tennessee.
Okay.
I got lots of friends down there. But I lived in Memphis, and there's this distributor down in Nashville who, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He loves nothing more than craft beer. His firm's called Bounty Bev. And like it sounds, he goes out and hunts out, great beers and goes out and works hard. And this is another example of, the great distribution partner relationships that I have. They're helping so much to make it happen. We feel very fortunate about that.
It says a lot about how the consumer base has grown that a guy like that can exist, that his sole purpose is to go out and find the rare or just the great beers because there really was a time where that was a ridiculous notion. Who the hell would have bought the beers that he was finding?
So. Yep, exactly. You know, up in Minneapolis, we just launched there about 6 weeks ago. It's the town I grew up in, and you know, all my friends and family. Bartenders asked me if I wanted a beer. I said, you bet. all my friends and family live in Minneapolis, and it's the first time that I think they actually think I have a legit job.
Right. Yeah.
And it's been fun up there, you know, drinking in the Minneapolis bars, having some Lucky Bucket, and it's like a dream come true.
It's so funny, that perception. Now that he's out selling and doing things that like a normal business owner does, now he's got a real job.
Now it's legit.
Right.
You finally got out of that garage of yours, and you're not just brewing beer all day.
Exactly.
Right. By the way, everybody's family is a Jewish mother to me. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more from Zach and Lucky Bucket Brewing Company. So hang in there with us. If you've got questions, 888-401-BEER or hit the chat now button. Hang in there, Zach. We'll be right back.
Will do.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hi, this is Push from the Brewing Network, and I want to tell you about the Brewmaster's Warehouse and how you can get 10% off your next order. I'm a pretty techie guy, but I've never seen an online store like this. It's awesome. Go to brewmasterswarehouse.com and click on Brew Builder. You can whip up a custom recipe so easily even Sven could do it. Seriously, it's slick. You can share your recipe with your own logo and notes to the Brewmaster's database if you want. And the best part, it keeps a running tally of the beer you're building while you're doing it. Then, bam, click Buy Recipe and your cart is filled and ready to go with helpful suggestions in case you forgot something. This thing is amazing. Brewmaster's Warehouse is run the way a home brewer would do it, with great service, fast turnaround, and $6.99 flat rate shipping. Brewmaster's Warehouse and the Brew Builder blew me away. Check it out today at brewmasterswarehouse.com. I'm serious. And don't forget to put BNARMY in the discount code box for 10% off your order. Check out brewmasterswarehouse.com. Cheers.
Hello?
Hey, Drew, it's Push. You want to do some lunch?
Oh, I can. I'm reading something important.
What? John, it's Push.
Hey, this is John, and I'm busy reading right now, so please...
What is going on?
This is Sven.
Hey, you busy?
Yeah, I am. I'm reading Gordon's new book.
From Brewers Publications and the only home brewer to win the coveted National Homebrew Competition Ninkasi Award 3 times comes a complete look at technical, practical, and creative homebrewing. Brewing Better Beer by Gordon Strong.
What sets this book apart is its insistent focus on what's important for the homebrewer. Like a great beer, it's extremely well-balanced. A mix of technical, practical, and creative advice that, if taken to heart, will make your beer a whole lot better.
You'll learn Gordon's techniques and philosophy, recipes and tips to take your homebrew to the next level. Brewing Better Beer, master lessons for advanced homebrewers. Proudly available now from Brewers Publications.
Downtown Joe's, located in the historic Oberon Building in beautiful downtown Napa, California, offers an award-winning brew pub experience from 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. For 15 years at the corner of 2nd and Main, Downtown Joe's has been voted Best Night Spot 7 times and Best Brew Pub for the last 4 years in a row. Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky's handcrafted ales, like his Tail Wagon Amber Ale and Double Secret Probation IPA, are the perfect accent to Riverside dining, live music, and a relaxing outdoor patio. Don't miss the Beer of the Month, special rotating taps, and the BN Army Member Special. Wear your BN gear, get 10% off your beer. Visit downtownjoes.com to make reservations, peruse their extensive calendar of events, or just read more about their fantastic beers. Come enjoy the fine beer, food, and music. Downtown Joe's, the award-winning brew pub, where you'll feel at home.
Here's a bite for beer lovers. Soft caramel made with real craft brew and coated in chocolate. And hop drops, hard candies made with real hop oil. Introducing Beer Candy from BeerCandy.com. Beer Candy's amazing caramels come in four mouth-watering flavors. IPA, bitter gold wrapped in smooth white chocolate. Lager, made with a familiar beer from Boston and coated in milk chocolate. Lambic, soury Belgian goodness full of fresh raspberry and dipped in dark chocolate. And Stout, roasty cocoa chocolate insanity. Hop drops are made with Fuggles or Cascade hops and are known as the candy that bites you back. Choose from sampler and full sizes of both and make your mouth jump to life. All at BeerCandy.com. Hop drops and beer caramels satisfy your sweet tooth as only a beer lover could with Beer Candy. Visit BeerCandy.com today.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of our 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Our Williams Belgian Pale Extract is mashed with pure Belgian two-row malt and a small percentage of Belgian wheat malt for an authentic Belgian character you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out our unique fermenters, 2.5-gallon kegs, paintball tank-based draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and much more. We even have our own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse our vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 3:30 p.m. Pacific time ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
What's funny is brewers just say, yeah, I don't brew to stop. I'm brewing my own beer. And it's like a German Pilsner, but it's black.
Yeah, it's a sports beer. You know?
The home of live beer radio. TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
And now back to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters.
On The Brewing Network.
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us. We're still talking to Zach Tremert from Lucky Bucket Brewing Company. He's hanging out with us, and I'm still drinking his IPA right now because it's damn good. Damn good. And I think we've got one more beer, and Zach, this actually is the beer that people are starting to ask me questions about already, and that is your Certified Evil, of course.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Now,
I wish I had some here.
Oh, you don't have any over at the bar across the street there?
You shipped your last two bottles to us?
Yep, pretty much.
Now, is this a barrel-aged beer?
It is.
Okay. I'm glad you sent this. I really appreciate that, because the last time I saw you, Zach, was not the Brewing Network show. It was at the Great American Beer Festival when we were talking about the evil collaboration that several breweries got involved with. I know Todd Ashman from 5050 was had a big role in that.
Yeah, he was pretty much the founder of the group, and he got Matt Van Wyk and myself involved in the first collaboration. Matt's up in Eugene, Oregon, at Oakshire Brewing, and so we did that first collaboration together that we called Collaborative Evil.
Okay.
And that's right. It was a unique collaboration because there's a lot of different ones out there, and everybody does it a little differently. But we went out and kind of worked together to develop a recipe, and it started out as a dark Belgian strong.
Okay.
And we took that recipe back to our own breweries, and we all brewed our own beer using whatever local raw materials we could find, our own yeast. We didn't necessarily suggest we were going to use the same yeast, our own brewing techniques, and then brought all our beer back to the GABF to share with folks, see how different beers could turn out when you start with the same recipe.
And they were enormously different.
Yes.
Each one of them. Let me start with a simple question. what makes it a dark Belgian strong? Is that a simple thing like just adding a malt that adds color, or does it also add flavor when it goes
just
to
call
a
it one. That's all you got to do.
That's it.
Yeah. Style guidelines are so loose these days.
Right.
But let's put it this way. The malt bill we're using today for certified evil versus the malt bill that we had when it was collaborative evil is almost identical.
Okay.
So what's different is I pulled the Belgian yeast out, and so now we're using an American ale yeast, and we added the barrel aging step. That wasn't a part of the initial collaboration.
Okay.
And so, I mean, just that Belgian yeast adds so much character to the beer.
Yeah.
And, I mean, our website right now is out of date. Our website still calls it a Belgian strong. I need to get on that.
Okay.
It's just another one of those things when you're running a business. It's there's a lot of different things to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that. My website is so up to date all the time. It's unbelievable.
But, you know, so now we're calling this beer an Imperial Porter.
Okay.
And it doesn't even fit neatly into that. It doesn't fit neatly into any beer category. I mean, it's one thing that I actually like about it. It's a one-of-a-kind beer that is, you know, big and bold, but, you know, again, balances. Because we're using honey and molasses and raisin juice puree, you know, in this beer. So there's a lot of sweetness going in, but then we're using, you know, quite a bit of hops to really balance that out. More than you probably would get in certainly Belgian strongs.
Yeah.
And so it finishes, you know, fairly dry given the amount of sweet things we put into it, and you know, it turns into, you know, it's a 9.6% alcohol beer. She's a big one.
Yeah, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but the first thing I was going to say is once again, it's clean and crisp. And I'm starting to, I think, put my finger on what I mean by that. None of the beers are muddled. None of the flavors that he's putting in kind of meld together to make this kind of average or bland type of taste. Where the crispness is, what I really mean is that they're all a focused beer. They're not muddled by the different ingredients you put in.
Right.
And to hear you run off that list of stuff that's in this with the different sugars surprises me even more that this one is also not muddled.
Well, and the last time I heard you say that was with Todd Ashman's barrel aged.
Oh, right.
I remember you were saying you can, even though there's a ton of stuff in this beer, you can pick out individual. So I wonder how much, you know, did Todd have an influence on you as a brewer, Zach?
Oh, I think in a lot of ways. I mean, Todd and I have been friends for a lot of years, and I've always paid attention to Todd, and we've talked a lot. He's a fantastic brewer and a good friend, and I think you know, I've certainly learned things from him. Hopefully he's learned a thing from me, but that's hard to say, but I've certainly learned stuff from him. He's a hell of a good guy and a great brewer.
And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but Eric. That's a joke I wrote.
I don't know what I don't even know what it's about.
I got a broken record.
I see. Yeah. That was good.
Thank you.
So, Zach, can you tell us a little bit about your water? I think we're wondering if these beers aren't so clean and crisp because of the way you treat your water.
Well, the way I treat the water for the lager and certified evil is different than how I treat the water on the IPA.
Okay, right.
But the beer, you know, comes from the city and goes through a charcoal filter. We have a gigantic charcoal filter. And then on the lager and certified evil, the water goes through a water softener. And then from there, we have a fine cartridge filter. And then into our brew house. With the IPA, we don't soften the water.
Right. Do you calcify the water? Do you add gypsum to the IPA?
We are adding just a little bit of salt to it, not much.
Gotcha.
We do acidify the water.
Okay.
Is Collaborative Evil going to do any more beers?
We're not this year. We all got a bit busy. You know, we did the collaboration 3 years in a row, and we're taking this year off, and we're talking about doing it again and renaming the project.
Can you name it Axis Powers next time you do it?
Axis Powers.
Where does that come from?
Certified Evil? I don't know.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
there was
something
you said earlier that reminded me of it. I don't know.
You should just call it reality TV shows.
There you go.
No, I don't understand the jokes either, Zach. Don't worry about it.
There was a reason, God damn it.
What kind of barrel did this beer go into?
A round one.
It came from a barrel not far from you guys. We have a partnership with the Optima Winery out in Sonoma. And so we get their old Cabernet barrels.
Nice.
So, you know, these are aged in Cabernet barrels, and the Cabernet that's in them is fantastic. We've ever had the Optima Zin and the Optima Cabernet. They're just fantastic wines, and so we feel fortunate to have a source of barrels like that.
Do you leave that little puddle of Cabernet in the bottom of it?
Absolutely.
You do, yeah. You got to do that, right?
Yeah.
Can't dump that out.
Unless I try to dump it out to drink it.
Right. Now, do you have to replace the barrels every batch, or do you hang on to them for a while?
We use them a few times, and then we turn them and use them for other things.
Okay. And now this is from the chat. Is this a blended beer?
It's not. There, when we first did it, we did... Well, yes and no.
Okay.
We did for a while. Batches were coming out a little sweet, so I blended in a little bit of our IPA to dry it up a little bit.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it worked well, but then I realized that I just needed to add more hops and balance it better while I was brewing it. So I'm no longer blending in any IPA, but we barrel-age some of it for more than a year, but we don't barrel-age all of it.
Okay.
For a year. So it's different ages of wood that's blended together.
Got it. Well, that's a smart move, actually. And that's what a lot of good barrel aging brewers tell us, too, that you kind of have a base beer and you got your barrel beer, and that allows you a little more control over the flavor rather than letting that beer sit for a year on something that, and then taste it and go, wow, we've sure screwed that up. Can't sell that beer.
Well, so. We don't want it to be too woody. We've entered this beer in a few different categories, and for GABF and World Beer Cup, and I'm not sure where it fits because it's not so woody that does well in a wooden barrel age category, and but if there's enough woodiness where if it's in a robust porter category, it's almost they ding it because there's some barrel age character to it. So I'm not sure what to do with it.
Yeah, I think I might only be able to pick it out if you put it side by side with like another Imperial Porter or something that did not have a wood character. Because if
right.
you just gave me the beer like I had here, my comment would not be, oh, I can taste the wood.
Right.
You know? I taste a little bit of roastiness is one of my first ones. And I think I taste some of that sweet sugar in there, too.
It'll be a little tannin probably, too, a little dryness.
Yeah. All in subtle enough amounts
yep.
that just make it taste great.
Yep.
You know? I also wouldn't... I know you said, you kind of have it as an Imperial Porter, and it doesn't really fit that style exactly either. I don't know. I don't know what I would have guessed for beer style, but it probably wouldn't have been Porter.
Right.
Just some... I guess just barrel-aged beer. Isn't that its own style now? Just barrel-aged something? And its own BJCP?
Yeah, barrel-aged strong. I don't know.
Yeah. What is the percentage on this beer? What's the alcohol?
9.6.
See, that's another real good thing about it, is you're not getting any of that headache stuff coming out of it. It's not hot. It's not too estery with that alcohol either.
That's where I think the barrel aging, just it helps mellow the beer so much.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not using whiskey barrels. I like the wine barrels better.
Right.
Agreed. How long in the barrel did you say? Sorry.
Well, some of it, a year or more.
Okay.
And some of it, not nearly as long.
Wow. So do you have a pretty large barrel room at your brewery then?
We're starting to accumulate quite a few. And we've got some Belgian sours in wood. And so we've got a number of different things going on.
Okay. Any techniques you could give to our home brewers about barrel aging, things that you've learned over this process that we could steal from you?
I guess managing, time and, wood to surface ratio. Beer wood surface ratio is really pretty important to manage. It's really easy to make a beer way too woody and make it almost undrinkable.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing smaller scale and using smaller barrels, it's going to need to be in that wood for a much shorter amount of time.
Okay.
And one thing that's hard to create, because you get a couple of things from the wood. I think of wood as either a flavor tool or as a microbiological tool. And so our Belgian sours are in barrels we've used a whole bunch of times. So there's not nearly as much wood character we're going to get out of it. And so it allows, the microorganisms in there to breathe in the wood and to develop the flavors that develop without the beer getting overly woody.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're using, if you're a smaller brewer and you're buying a 5-gallon or a 20-gallon barrel, and they're usually new, you get that wood character so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And it hasn't had time to really mature and breathe in the wood. It's a hard thing to do when you're brewing at a smaller scale.
Okay.
So if you're able to, you know, it'd be fun to, you know, if I was homebrewing more regularly, it'd be fun to get a bunch of homebrewers together, have everybody brew 5 or 10 gallons, and, you know, have everybody put it into one, you know, 55-gallon barrel. Right. So you can, you know, decrease the ratio of the wood to the beer and allow it to sit longer so it can breathe and really get the maturation time. Because you can't cheat time.
Yeah, certain clubs are doing that now, too, to have more members.
Yeah, it's really common to do that now. That's pretty much everybody's kind of got that figured out. They do the collaboration kind of thing. Everybody else is doing smaller batches, just using cubes and stays, whatever they want to, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you keep the beer from getting oxidized in a barrel for that long?
I don't know if I know how to answer that. You know, we purge the barrel with CO2. Before we put beer into it,
okay,
and then we bung it up and we don't touch it for a long time. And you know, if we do pull out a sample, we're quick about it.
Yeah,
you know, I can't really explain the science behind the oxidation that happens because you know what a poorly oxidized stale beer tastes like.
Oh yeah,
you know it's terrible. But I think that there's that infusion of a little bit of oxygen that goes to the wood. Does some type of different oxidation that, I mean, the chemistry I don't understand.
Sure.
But it helps the beer mature and change in a really positive way. And I don't know that anybody understands it.
I wonder if tannins themselves have an effect on it.
It's the micro-ox. I mean, you are getting some, but it's not at a large enough level to really impact the beer for probably a long period of time.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Because there's actually a lot of studies in the wine industry that are just delving into the micro-ox rate of barrels and their flavor impact on wine, but I don't think anything's like that has been studied on the beer side because we don't leave it in that long.
You know,
we're talking 18 months or 2 years or 3 years sometimes for wines.
You know,
6-8 months generally is the rule for beer, so I don't think it has that much of an impact at all.
Okay. Because this beer, which is already, I don't know how long it's been in the bottle, but it's at least a year in the barrels, and then it's been in the bottle for however long since we got it. And I feel like we could put this in our refrigerator for another 6 months, and it would be a completely different beer and still great, because I'm not picking up even a hint of cardboard or any other oxygen in there.
No. Right.
You know?
No, it's so, I mean, such a light contact, you're not going to, I don't think you would.
Yeah.
Maybe later, in several years, but...
Do you have yourself a cellar full of these where you're kind of testing them year after year, Zach?
We have a cellar and we're holding them back. I just wish it was more full than it is.
Okay.
So we're not going to, at this point, we're not going to be able to do any parties soon where we share kegs and kegs of this stuff.
Right.
And do a vertical tasting. But we certainly have held some back. And now we're at a capacity level where we're going to be able to start to hold back much more, which is going to be exciting for years to come.
That's great. I mean, it's great to be able to share it, but even on a personal level, I think one of the most fun things about doing projects like this as a pro brewer would be having my own personal stash and getting to taste that year after year and seeing how the beer did. Both because I'd want to know maybe what the consumer has on the beer geek has on his shelf that's been there for a while, and just to know what my beer did. You know, and kind of figuring out like when it peaked, you know, you go, oh, 5 years. Oh, this is the best one so far. 5 years. And then you taste year six and it starts to go downhill. That would be a really geeky and fun thing for me to do, I think, if I was a pro.
Absolutely.
I would do it as a home brewer, but I'm way too lazy for that. So I can't. But Chad probably is. He's probably not telling me. Chad probably has a cellar underneath our house with every beer he's ever brewed. He dug himself a hole, knowing that that's the only place I wouldn't find it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like a little manhole in his closet that he just goes under the house.
Chad, where were you? I was looking in your room.
I don't. Yeah, I was right there.
Yeah.
Well, if they are there, let me know. I'd like to come out and share a few.
Right. All right, Zach, before we run out of time, talk to us quickly about distilling, because I know you're doing that, too.
You bet. You know, it's the other company that we started. It's called the Solus Distillery.
Okay.
It's in the same building, and we've got the only pair of Scottish copper pot stills in the country. They're gorgeous.
Nice.
And they allow us to do vodka, rum, and whiskey. We're doing the single malt whiskey that's, you know, been in wood for over a year and a half now that is really – It's a fantastic beer. It's the reason that I went to Scotland to learn how to distill. You know, I lived in Edinburgh for a year where I got my master's degree in brewing and distilling, and it's, you know, a great passion to you know, make the single malt and the rum, and we're doing Joss Vodka, and it's going really well. And we have some videos online on YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/LuckyBucketBrewing, if you type that all into the web browser, we have our own branded YouTube page.
Nice.
And we've got the first video up there. The most recent one is a 4-minute video about our expansion. And so you can kind of see what the brewery looks like, how it's changed. And I did go into the distillery and shoot, you know, some shots of the stills and the barrels. And, you know, there's a few other videos on there. One video about each brand. They're about a minute long, one lager, one IPA, one certified evil. And if you watch those and then go to the expansion video, you can tell that I shot the expansion video. It is not professionally done. It's
iPhone.
A cool video to get a sense for who Lucky Bucket is and what we're doing, and check out the distillery. A lot of people, you know, since they haven't heard of us, don't know who we are. Are we, you know, just a brand that was created by some big brewery, or are we, you know, some guys, you know, cooking up some stuff in our basement, and you know, we're something right in the middle of those two.
There's one great video that you got to post up on our Facebook page that I watched. It's just kind of about, you know, pre-prohibition beer and how since then beer kind of turned to shit, and now there are breweries like Lucky Bucket, and it's a great it's a great video. Post that one up there, Zach, because it looks
sure
good.
I'll see if I can't get that done tomorrow. It's we call it our mantra video. It's about 3 minutes long, and it's a great history piece, and got some great shots of downtown Omaha in there.
Great, it looks good. Now, here I have a question about the beer slash distilling side. A friend of mine asked me this all the time because he's not so into beer, but he is into bourbon and whiskey and scotch. And it's, you know, I told him that all kind of starts with wort, that, you know, starts with beer. And and once I told him that, he had all these great questions about it. And one of them is how the wort affects the final product. So he kind of was asking me just random things like, well, what if the wort started as an IPA? How would the bourbon taste then, or the whiskey taste then? What if the wort started as a blonde? Then how would it taste then? Can you give some guidelines to how the wort affects the final product?
I can do my best. We've certainly have tried some different things. I do think that the wort, and by the way, when you're running a distillery, the same product is called wash.
Okay, wash. Got it.
And that's, you know, that's what really got me into whiskey, is when I learned that whiskey is essentially just distilled beer.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, I got to check that out. So I love me some whiskey. And so I've done a moderate amount of playing around with different malt bills with the whiskeys that we're making. And actually the very first whiskey that I ever made in our distillery, when I was, you know, kind of testing out the system and seeing how she worked, was actually one of our first IPAs that we developed. That, you know, we spent a year developing our IPA before we launched it, and it was fine, but it wasn't something we were going to send forward out to the public, and so I distilled it. So our very first whiskey is a distilled IPA.
Okay.
And
so the wort,
I only got 20 gallons out of it, so I've got this 20-gallon barrel filled with this IPA whiskey. And, you know, the batch after that was 100% two-row malt. So it was, you know, all light-colored malt, no hops. And the two whiskeys came out fairly different, you know, as the, you know, new make spirit. I haven't tried them side by side because I vowed to not touch that IPA barrel for a long time.
Nice.
But you definitely got more floral and more flavor out of the IPA wash.
Okay. And now, is it traditional that the wash would have been hopped, or is it generally just a malt bill?
For a whiskey?
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't use hops.
You wouldn't. But in this case, that IPA was fully hopped, like it was a finished beer.
It was fully hopped.
Okay. All right.
Did you have the same malt bill also, like crystal malt and all that kind of stuff, or just the two-row with hops for kind of the flavor to carry over afterwards?
Well, in the second batch we did 100% two-row. And since then, we've done a number of different malt bills that include you know, crystal malts and Munich malts and a variety of other things to see what the effects are.
Yeah.
And now I'm, you know, everything's labeled and I know what they are. So we can see what the effect is, you know, down the road. You know, they've all been sitting there for, you know, roughly a year and a half. And we're not going to launch the whiskey until it's at least 3 years old. And, you know, there's certainly going to be more things we're going to try as well. We're a, you know, we're a young whiskey company and we're having fun doing it.
Can you dry hop whiskey after you've made it?
Sure, why not? I don't know why you would. I don't know if it would work, like flavor-wise.
I don't think that'd be very good.
Well, I've had, for example, I don't know what it's called, hop schnapps, right?
Yeah.
Where I can taste the hop character in it, and I don't know if that's been dry hopped or if it was just a really hoppy...
I don't know if that's good or not.
I've had some good stuff.
Was it just homemade?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, one was homemade, and the other one actually was imported from Germany.
Yeah.
It was a hop schnapps from there, and that one was really good.
That was actually pretty decent.
And so, I just think...
Joe's Germans love to make those schnapps.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Oh, because it's great after one of those enormous German meals that they give you. Like, actually makes you feel like you can move again.
Oh, skiing down the mountain.
Yeah. Well, I guess distilling is a whole other show, and there's so many variables. I mean, you know, it's what you put in the malt bill, it's if you hopped it, and then you have to wait, like you're doing, 3 years to even know the difference or put it out. I don't have time for that. I don't have the patience.
It's so hard to be patient, and you know, so we're making vodka as well. Our vodka is called Joss Vodka, and it is a super premium vodka. We make it on a distillation column that was my master's thesis over in Scotland, and so I after the thesis, I built it, I installed it, and we're pulling off 196 proof vodka off of the top of this column. In the top third.
Attaboy.
And, I mean, the quality is fantastic. Then we're trucking in water from the Nebraska Sandhills. It's coming out of the Oglala Aquifer, you know, filtered through miles and miles of sandstone. And we bring that, you know, down to bottling strength. And so it just has great mouthfeel and texture. It's a vodka that we're very proud of.
Zach's hardcore, man.
That's awesome.
Just trucking in that water.
You bet.
So if wash for whiskey is made, you know, from grain, and I'm told that vodka is made from potatoes, how do you do that? How do you make wash for vodka?
Well, with vodka is one of those spirits that really has no rules. So you can make vodka from any sugar or starch source.
Oh, okay.
So we're making our vodka from Nebraska-grown organic wheat.
Okay. So you're just mashing wheat like you would anything else?
Yep.
Okay.
It's hard to do. It's a mess. It's not my favorite thing to do. Shoveling out that mash is a lot of work.
Are you using the same brew house as your...
Yep.
You are.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. The brewers hate you on vodka mash day.
Like wheat paste.
Yes, they do.
They're cursing you for that one.
Yes, I try to help out on those days when I can, because it's...
you feel guilty.
She's a thick man. You need like a pickaxe to get it out.
Do you put in a shit ton of rice hulls, too, or what?
A ton of rice hulls, yeah. And then, you know, we add enzymes as well.
Okay. And it's still probably a bitch. How long does that runoff take compared to one of your normal runoffs?
Oh, about 3 or 4 times longer.
Oh, man.
The upside is you don't really, you know, we work hard in the brewery. We get a pretty bright runoff with the beer. But with the vodka, we don't have to worry about getting a very bright runoff.
Okay. It could be all murky. It doesn't matter. You're just going to distill it anyway.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's fun, man. All things alcohol happening out there at Lucky Bucket.
You bet. I'm still buying my wine, but we make everything else.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a couple years on that. I'm sure you'll figure
you
something out.
You just got to start a barter program with somebody.
Right.
Exactly. Well, you know, we give our spent grain to a farmer who raises all Wagyu beef.
Nice.
And, I mean, this beef, you know, it's already fantastic out here in the Midwest, but then the Wagyu beef is phenomenal. I mean, we're talking, you know, beef you cut with a fork. It is
really
phenomenal. So the ability to trade, you know, beer for beef, it's pretty fantastic.
Yes.
I'm really hungry right now. I don't know what just happened.
Take that medium rare, thank you.
Now, do you want to open a brew pub eventually, or are you happy just being a production facility?
I really don't.
Okay.
You know, I had the opportunity to work in a brew pub for 6 years. And got the sense of what it's like to run a restaurant. And running a restaurant's really hard. It takes a lot of work. Staffing it is so much energy. And it's a totally different core competency than running a manufacturing brewery. And I don't know how to do it. So, if there's ever a Lucky Bucket Brew Pub, it's going to be because, you know, we can hire other people to manage all the details of it, and yeah. I can tell you that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Okay, that makes sense to me, actually.
Yeah, I'm a brewer. I'm not a restaurateur.
Okay. All right, couple quick questions from the chat, then I'll let you go, Zach. First, actually, some kudos. One of our listeners, Bug Eater, who's actually from Nebraska, he says he dug out a 2005 vintage bottle of Zach's Oak Age Triple from when you were still at Upstream.
Oh, nice.
And he said it's the best beer he ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. Please enjoy. I know there's maybe a few of them run around out there. I actually do have a number of those in my cellar, and I haven't opened one for quite a while. I might just have to open one of those soon.
There you go. Check it out. He said it's still good.
Thank you.
All right. Phil Brazil is in the chat room, and he wants to know about what about wood temperature and time? Is when you're barrel aging, is a high temp like 60s or 70s bad for maturation on barrels? Do you have to be colder than that?
Well, I think I have a different viewpoint than some. I know some brewers will put their barrels into their walk-in cooler. I personally like it warm. I think that maturation happens more quickly when the barrel is warm, and that's how we've always done it. And I think it works great if the it gets a bit warm.
So when you said today that you're across the street because your brewery is hot as hell, is the barrel room the same temperature?
Yep, she's warm.
Okay, so we're talking high 70s in there at least.
I wish.
<You're> not, yeah. That would be great.
You'd be over there right now.
Oh my god, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's high 70s in the air conditioning.
I see.
It was pushing 100 degrees today.
Oh shit.
For the whiskey and the rum, I think that's a really good thing. And for the beer, it's okay. The maturation is going to happen a little bit more quickly, so we'll have to pay attention. We can't just take our eye off the ball, but
right.
It doesn't bother me for a minute.
Okay.
It draws in that the beer, the wood.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And then when it contracts, when it cools down, it pushes it back out, and you get a lot of flavors in there. Yeah, right. It will mature in the barrel a little quicker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually the follow-up question from another chatter was asking about constant temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's important, but it sounds like a little fluctuation to get it in the barrel and get it back out is okay.
Yeah. Well, I know
I like fluctuation, you bet.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I know Firestone is, doing their double barrel, like aged in a barrel for a longer period of time, I think, like 30 days or something.
Yeah.
But they keep it real cold. So you don't get a lot of that fluctuation. You don't pull a lot of that wood flavor out. You get a little bit, I guess.
Okay.
So the warmer temperatures, that's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what will happen because that's what you want. You want a lot of the wood flavors. But if you just want a little bit, then cool it down a little bit.
Perfect for us lazy brewers.
Right? I used to use oak cubes.
Yeah. And let the temperature change even with those, or that doesn't matter?
No, I just leave it in my fridge.
Okay.
No, that's a really good point. Wood does so many different things, and barrels do so many different things. Your goal as a brewer is to determine what you want that wood to do, what flavors you want it to generate, and then use the wood accordingly. Like I talked about, our sour beers are in really old barrels, so we're not pulling out a lot of wood and using it more as a microbiological tool where, for Certified Evil, we're in those, wine barrels that, had the wine in there, and we're getting, a lot of that character from there. But since it was used for wine for 2, 3, 4 turns, it's also not super woody. It's not like we're using brand new charred barrels to really make a big impactful wood beer. So you really have to know what your goal is when you're determining how and when you're going to use wood.
Okay.
And if you know the manufacturer of the barrel, a lot of times will have spider graphs of mm-hmm. the actual of that specific barrel, because each barrel manufacturer will toast it differently and will use different age woods and do all this kind of weird stuff, and they'll have a spider graph which just has it's either high on the caramels or kind of mid range on the vanillas, and you can even do your research that way and figure out what to expect from this barrel in a sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And now that we've got that cleared up, Zach, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Moscow, why the fuck didn't you tell me he has sour beer? because I would have begged for sour beer to be sent.
Well, that's why I didn't want to beg for
this
you.
Up.
I didn't want to beg by proxy.
I mean, everything was going great until Zach just revealed that he's got sour beer.
Zach, why'd you have to go blabbing, Zach?
Hold on. Hey, sheesh. Scott, let me help you out. When he says, why didn't you do it? Just blame it on the other guy. Just say, Zach didn't have it.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
isn't that what I just did?
Go ahead.
We've never released it. This beer has been in wood for more than a year now, and it's still in wood. And about a month ago, when the beer reached a year, we hand crushed cherries into the beer.
Oh, nice!
And so now it was pit and stem and all went in.
Great!
And now that's helping to mature and change the beer more. So we've never released a sour beer. We're really taking our time to do one, and we're gonna do it right. But it's gonna be a few years old probably before anybody sees the Lucky Bucket first sour beer.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm
so
excited.
I begged Zach, but he was like, we haven't released it yet. And
good job,
it's Zach's fault.
And we have good, a pilot JP? System. We've got it's a great. beer, more beer pilot system.
Great.
That Chris sold us, and
they're our sponsor.
It's a great system. We've got the temperature-controlled, cylindrical, 12-gallon fermentation vessels. And so we've been doing a lot of test stuff. And so Friday night, down at a bar in Lincoln, Nebraska, we released 10 gallons of a Lucky Bucket rye saison. And we did that kind of in a collaboration with the bar manager down there, Jason McLaughlin, a great home brewer. And yesterday at a beer festival in Omaha called Sunfest, we released 5 gallons of a Lucky Bucket champagne fermented wheat beer.
Nice.
And so we're doing a lot of small batch stuff and getting it out to the public to get people's thoughts on different things that Lucky Bucket's doing. But commercially, the only things we have out there are those three beers until we release our Oktoberfest this fall. Once we do that, hopefully every couple months, we're going to release a new commercial scale draft only beer. So I think we're going to do a big 7-8% alcohol pumpkin beer after the Oktoberfest called Big Pimpkin Ale.
Nice. Beautiful.
So you're introducing a seasonal line. Is that what you're...
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We are, but it's a single batch series.
Right. So once you'll never see it again.
We may never do it again.
Right.
Hey, you ever do any beer cocktails? You ever had a steel bottom?
You ever heard of that?
Steel bottom.
It's basically.
On New Year's, we did Certified Evil in Champagne.
Oh, all right.
Which was pretty fantastic.
Uh-huh.
What did you call it?
We haven't mixed any alcohol with the beer yet, but we've certainly talked about it.
Cool.
At the National Homebrewers Conference this year, on one of the days, it happened to be my most hungover day, as a matter of fact, one of the brew clubs in the hospitality suite was serving beer mosas. And it was there was two different ones. There was a orange juice with a Belgian triple, which was actually, you would be surprised to find out that it tasted pretty damn good.
That's what I had for breakfast this morning.
You did? Yeah. Really? OJ with a Belgian triple?
Yeah, with a Duvel.
Nice. And then the other one wasn't as good, and it was OJ with some kind of a wheat beer, a Saison or something like that.
Yeah.
I forget. And that one wasn't as nice.
Too orangey, maybe?
It has too much OJ in it. I don't know. It just was the triple one, though.
It's probably the bartender, not the drink.
Was damn good. Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah.
This whole beer cocktail thing. You think right off the bat, you go, this is bullshit.
Right. Well, I've only heard of like a snake bite, and then until Chad's fucking steel bottom session. Yeah.
Wait, what's a steel bottom?
So a steel bottom is a lager.
It's a whore.
Half a lager, and you just pour in a bunch of overproofed white rum on ice.
Okay.
And that's a steel bottom. That's what all the locals in Jamaica drink.
But it's disgusting. Oh, Chad made them. Chad came back from Jamaica and made them for us. Bevo.
Bevo's a huge
fan. Like a Four Loko. This stuff is disgusting.
Don't hate.
It's awful. Bevo's like got a bottle of Mad Dog 2020 in her fridge all the time. Yeah. It's
oh, my.
Right. Okay. Well, Zach, hey, thanks so much for coming back on the show with us, man. I appreciate it.
It was an enormous pleasure. It's great to talk to you guys again. Are we going to see you out in Denver for the GABF?
We'll be back there, and I'll be hosting talks again in the middle, so maybe we'll get you on some of those again. It'd be great.
That'd be great. Love to see you guys.
Okay, it's good to talk to you. Give us the website real quick so the listeners can go.
The website's just luckybucketbrewing.com.
Okay.
And then go to our YouTube site, youtube.com/LuckyBucketBrewing, and check out those videos. And then we'll see if we can't get that mantra video up on your Facebook page sometime tomorrow.
Great. I appreciate it. All right, Zach. Cheers, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Later.
Peace.
There you go, Zach Treemert, Lucky Bucket Brewing Company, and a good dude, good brewer.
That was good, man.
And yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah, he's fun to talk to. All right, we'll see you later, everybody, and back next week.
Thanks. Actually,
what else do we have to do? We've got
a game
steel
to
bottoms. we got to do some steel bottoms.
I could use a steel bottom.
He's going to make one right now. I know it.
Now, speaking of sour beer, he's like,
you gave him the idea, Chad.
We all said it was so irresistible.
I got to have that. I got to have it right now. That's what he did.
I'm a beer guy. I'm a spirits guy.
He's at a bar across the street. He's going right to the bar. Hey, you guys know what a steel bottom is? I think you have to say it like that.
Yeah, Jamaican accent.
Sure. You have to distill some rum.
What's wrong with your butt?
Yeah.
What is, Zach, I don't know about you. What is wrong with your butt?
What is B-U-T-T?
Yeah.
Butt. What is butt?
Oh, boy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a game from Moscow. At this break, you'll also hear the Brewing Network announcements. So hang in there. We'll be back in just a few minutes. It's The Session.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Oh, what a great hike. Let's stop here. I need a quick bite.
Yeah, sounds good. Hey, I brought a couple of Brew Bar energy bars. You want one?
Awesome. I've heard about these, but I haven't tried one yet.
You've never tried one? But you're a home brewer and an athlete. Brew Bar Energy Bars are made by homebrewers. What better way to merge your two passions? Rich barley malt paired with simple, all-natural ingredients? Here, crack that open and taste. I think you'll be surprised.
This tastes really good. It's a great flavor and so moist. Better than my usual energy bar.
I'm surprised you waited this long.
Well, I've been meaning to try them. I've even seen the write-ups in the brewing magazines. It's just too bad my local homebrew shop doesn't stock them yet.
And you've put your request in for them? You know, some homebrew shops need to get requests for new products before they'll pull the trigger. Until then, you can always get free shipping when you order online at brewbar.com. In fact, enter BN Army for a 15% discount. Homebrew clubs can also get an additional special discount for larger orders.
Good idea. I'll definitely ask my local shop to carry these.
All natural Brew Bar energy bars are now available at brewbar.com, morebeer.com, and other fine homebrew shops across the country. That's B-R-U-B-A-R. Look for them at your local homebrew shop. Remember, it's in your Brew Bar energy bar because it's in your brew.
BN Army Hop Tech has a great discount waiting for you. Do you often find it difficult to find specific specialty ingredients for your homebrew recipes? Well, listen to this. Hop Tech stocks 59 different grains to choose from, 39 varieties of pellet hops, and 8 kinds of whole leaf hops. And Hop Tech not only carries Y yeast and White Labs yeast for you, but also Fermentus, 04, 5, 6, 23, 33, and T58 Belgian yeast, plus Cooper's, Nottingham, and Windsor yeasts. Got your recipe ready to go? Pick up some great brew gear like new long and short sleeve shirts, games, and more. Hop Tech's new website is being updated every day with new items. If you don't see it, call the shop. They're open 6 days a week. BN Army and AHA members get a 10% discount, and active military personnel get 15% off. Visit hoptech.com today for great selection, great service, and a great discount. Hoptech.com.
A heretic is anyone who does not conform to an established attitude, doctrine, or principle.
If you love craft beer, you're already a heretic.
The very first thing we did when we started looking at the beers that we would brew, we got rid of all those recipes. We started from scratch. We've been pilot brewing the most creative things that we think of and the most interesting things. We've completely gone away from style.
Heretic Brewing Company is opening this spring in Pittsburgh, California, and you can be a part of it. Visit hereticbrewing.com and facebook.com/hereticbrew. Get the latest updates on the brewery and upcoming beers. Show everyone how you celebrate great beer as a heretic.
it's a fairly powerful word. Being a heretic, that means you're not settling for ordinary beer. You are going with flavorful, creative, bold, interesting beers. A heretic is looking for the best beers out there.
Be a heretic. Don't drink ordinary beer.
Hi, this is Push from the Brewing Network, and I want to tell you about the Brewmaster's Warehouse and how you can get 10% off your next order. I'm a pretty techie guy, but I've never seen an online store like this. It's awesome. Go to brewmasterswarehouse.com and click on Brew Builder. You can whip up a custom recipe so easily even Sven could do it. Seriously, it's slick. You can share your recipe with your own logo and notes to the Brewmaster's database if you want. And the best part, it keeps a running tally of the beer you're building while you're doing it. Then, bam, click Buy Recipe and your cart is filled and ready to go with helpful suggestions in case you forgot something. This thing is amazing. Brewmaster's Warehouse is run the way a home brewer would do it, with great service, fast turnaround, and $6.99 flat rate shipping. Brewmaster's Warehouse and the Brew Builder blew me away. Check it out today at brewmasterswarehouse.com. I'm serious. And don't forget to put BN Army in the discount code box for 10% off your order. Check out brewmasterswarehouse.com. Cheers.
When you hear Blickman Engineering, think innovation, passion, quality, and customer service. Blickman Gear is designed by brewers to give you a sense of pride in your equipment. At Blickman, they know what makes brewing a pain and build gear that makes it fun. Like the Intuitive Beer Gun, a completely different approach to filling bottles. The Therminator Wort Chiller, a new take on a plate chiller that's sized for flow, performance, and the high groundwater temps homebrewers face every day. The Brewmometer, a brilliant weldless thermometer design with brewing parameters right on the dial. The Auto Sparge, ultimate simplicity for preventing an overflow or running your mash tun dry. And much more, like the modular top-tier brewing stand, conical fermenters, and their Boilermaker brew pots. With more cutting-edge equipment coming soon, keep up with the latest from Blickman at BlickmanEngineering.com and stay on the cutting edge.
Hey, everybody. It's the Brewing Network's announcements for Sunday, July 10th. I am Scott the Jew. First up, Arrowhead Hops in Madrid, Iowa. It's a small hop farm focused on serving local home brewers and craft breweries with high-quality, locally grown hops. They will be holding the inaugural Harvest Festival and Beer Tasting on August 27th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Hop Yard. Short walking tours of the Hop Yard and a home brewing tasting area will highlight the festival. For more information on this, please contact Arrowhead Hops at arrowheadhops@yahoo.com or at facebook.com/arrowheadhops. Lafayette's Original Beer Festival is back. Gulf Brew 2011 gives you the best in Louisiana specialty and craft beer and will feature over 150 gallons of killer homebrew from the members of the Dead Yeast Society. As always, the event will raise money for the Acadiana Center for the Arts. It'll be held at Park International in downtown Lafayette on Saturday, July 23rd from 6 to 9 p.m. A special pre-taster event will take place from 5 to 6 p.m. Only 300 of those pre-taster tickets are available, though, so get on it. General admission tickets are available online at AcadianaCenterForTheArts.org or by calling 337-233-7060. The Fitchburg Order of Ale Makers presents the 10th annual Blues and Brews Homebrew Competition coming up August 13th at the Neshoba Valley Ski Area in Westford, Massachusetts. I have no idea if I pronounced that right. There will be lots of great live blues music and dozens of regional craft breweries pouring their stuff. It's $6 per entry for the contest. The deadline is August 5th. Visit foambrew.com for more information. That wraps it up for this week. As always, send me an email, scott@thebrewingnetwork.com, if you have events or competitions you'd like highlighted in this segment. And until next time, this is Scott the Jew saying, L'chaim.
Mix me your 100-grain amber recipe, and I'm going to eat it. And then it can ferment in my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
You're listening to The Brewing Network. Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck.
still enjoying the spoils of BNA 6 over here. I've got a Marin IPA in my glass that was a little bit left over from BNA 6. Arnie's always so nice to us, sent a beer down, wrote all over it, happy anniversary. Good guys over there at Marin Brewing Company, thank you for the beer. And his IPA is tasting damn good.
Oh, yeah. Had a nice white knuckle a couple of months ago at Beer Revolution. It was awesome.
Arnie's such really a good brewer, man. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. Really understated about it, too. So laid back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And his wiener's huge.
It is a really giant wiener. I didn't know if anyone else knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I run the same circles.
Everyone
just
knows
more
it.
In the background.
So I told you guys, speaking of getting to enjoy some spoils, I told you guys last time we just didn't have time to do it. I got to go. I was lucky enough to be invited to celebrate Matt and Allison, Matt Brennelson from Firestone, their wedding day.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah.
And they made a special beer for that, and were encouraging us to take some home, so I took a few home, and I brought one home to share with you guys. So they had this whole, you know, Matt's really into like live music. He's an old, like he's an old groupie of you name it, Widespread Panic and... So they kind of, you know, did their whole, all their invitations and everything was called like Allie and Matt's World Tour. You got like a, instead of getting a wedding invitation, you got a ticket. You know, like everything was done like kind of rock and roll. So anyway, this is Allie and Matt World Tour wedding celebration. It's called Allie's Bridal Ale. And it is IPA, it's half and half IPA and porter. So it's one of his blends. It's a 6.7% beer because they know how to party. And why don't somebody crack that open and pass it around the room? It was a really nice beer. I enjoyed it, so I thought I wanted you guys to try it out too and thank Matt for giving it to us. It was pretty cool. In the meantime, while we're doing that, Moscow, why don't you tell us the rules and regulations of this new game we're about to play? Or is it an old game?
So no, it's a new one. But do you want to do feedback first, or you want to do that after this game?
Mm. I don't want to do feedback first, but you know what I do have to do is...
Adam and Eve.
Talk some stuff about things.
You got to talk about like vaginas and penises real quick.
Can you?
Don't take your headphones off, Tasty. I'm just a good part. Tasty's like, I'm fucking out of here.
His heart can't take it anymore. He's an older guy.
He had to go rub one out just on the thought of
me. Like, I'm out. All right. Hey, guys, if you're looking to spice things up in the bedroom and you've been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie, here's an offer you can't resist. And I encourage you to do it because then they'll keep paying us. To
not resist.
Right.
Right.
You can go to adamandeve.com right now, and for a limited time, you'll get 50% off just about any item. And when you select one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs. Let's face it. 3 adult DVDs is pretty good. That will last me about 25 minutes.
Right. I'm like the clip guy on the internet.
You just do short clips.
I just do clips. 3 minutes is all I need. I don't need a whole lot.
I even fast forward through a 3-minute clip to the good shot.
Well, you have to, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to sit around
scan for that stuff.
Yeah, man. What's on 2X when you walk into the room and figure out the plot point and blah, 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 and you just get right to the scissoring?
Right.
That's what I'm into. Oh,
keep skipping ahead to the scissoring. All right, so you get 3 free adult DVDs for some inspiration, plus a free extra gift so sensual we can't even mention it on internet radio. To top it all off, we'll even throw in some free shipping on your entire order. So check out adamandeve.com today for the special offer. Here's what you do. You enter coupon code BNARMY, B-N-A-R-M-Y. I wish I got to select the coupon code when we spoke with them. I wish I had chosen scissoring.
Oh, yeah.
I just hadn't thought of it back then. Enter coupon code scissoring. And most people can't spell it.
Right. That's me. Yeah. Especially our listeners. Yeah.
All right. Enter coupon code BNARMY and you get the special offer. It's 50% off one item. It's free shipping. It's 3 DVDs and a free extra gift. So enter coupon code BNARMY. And go to adamandeve.com. Check it out.
I would have chosen boners with a Z at the end. That's my twist on it.
Boners.
Yeah.
Original.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, right? It's gangster is what the kids call it. Yeah.
Yeah, I got one break left to take, Moscow, so we can do feedback at the very end as long as you remind me to do it.
All right.
What's this game we're going to play?
Well, I don't have a great track record with first time games, so let's hope this goes well. It's called Guess Who Said It.
And you don't have any second time games.
I'm basically going to read you guys quotes that one of you in this room said.
Okay.
And then we're going to have to guess who said it. So basically, I'm going to read the quote. You guys have to wait to buzz in until I'm done reading the quote. So I will signal you guys when the quote is over and then buzz in with your name.
It's only people in the room. No Paxton, no Jameel.
Okay, so here's who the people who might have said it: Justin, JP, Tasty Bevo, Chad, Doc, or a caller. Those are your options of who said it.
There's right? no Nate in there.
There's no Nate because I went through. I couldn't do too recent of shows. Otherwise, you might remember. So I went back.
Right. Nate says stupid things.
That's the worst shit, anyways.
I went back a few years with these shows, so there was no Nate, unfortunately.
All right, before we let's go to the phones real quick. We got John from Florida on calling in for Drunk of the Week. Hey, John, what's happening?
Hey. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
oh,
there's
damn.
No beer in Florida. You just realized that, didn't you?
How you doing, bud? What's the
issue? All right. I just had a foam over.
Uh-oh.
This poor.
Oh. Are you brewing or pouring?
Or jerking?
I just opened a beer and it... just foamed over on the floor.
You finished too early.
Yeah, I wouldn't drink that one. Is that homebrew?
No, I just finished a 22 of a homebrew and just popped open a Yingling because I wanted to, and it just, foamed on the floor.
Moscow, will you take down these callers? This is John from Florida for Drunk of the Week.
We're still doing the resumes? Well,
no, right. Wow.
We got to write them down either way.
Scott. I'm trying to get out of doing stuff.
The resumes. Those pieces of shit.
I'll give you a resume if you want it.
How quick is it?
How proficient are you in Excel? That's all I care about.
Are you sucking that beer off the floor?
No, I am sucking it from the bottle, though, not off the floor.
You dirty, dirty animal.
He kind of sounds like an American version of Blobberglop. Like,
dude,
he's not quite as high. He's like a pitch down. He's an American version.
American.
I am American. I am Florida, born and bred.
Oh, boo. Get out of there, dude. What are you doing? You know, they found the exit route from Florida. It's up.
Yeah, but you got to go through Georgia, man.
Just keep on going.
Last thing I want to do is drive through Georgia. Georgia sucks.
Fly over it.
Yeah, says the guy from Florida.
I've driven through Georgia. Georgia is like, Georgia is like the armpit of America.
That's Jersey.
Yeah, that's Jersey. All us East Coasters know that.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Well, Florida's the drain of America, then.
Well,
How close are you to Disney World? Let's talk about that.
It's a swamp after all.
Let's talk about Disney World.
Are you drunk enough to put your wife on the phone?
No, she's asleep. She's already passed out and, had her head down on the table outside.
Is she really face down on the table? Because
it got ugly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
She's done and over with, So she's, passed out, done, finished.
Okay.
Finite.
How do we know that you're drunk? What is it that you do that tells your friends that you're drunk?
I stay in Florida. Thank you, Bevo.
Any of my friends know that if I am plastered, that
great.
Good.
Right. I can't think.
He made the most sense of any caller I've heard in the past year.
All right,
John,
good.
Thank you for the call. You're now in the running for Drunk of the Week, my friend.
Woo!
Later, brother.
I'll call you back.
All right.
No, don't.
Okay.
So we got nothing from his resume other than the Yingling that foamed over.
Well, and the
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to change up this week. No resumes this week. I'm going to ask the same question that he just answered or didn't answer.
No, he did.
But that's a way to tell, I think, too.
Yeah.
Apparently all his friends, they know when he knows, because I know. Okay. All right. Let's do we want callers in to play this game, with us, or?
Well, yeah, we can. I think it's going to be kind of hard for the caller to buzz in, but we could.
We can give caller first dibs.
We're doing.
We can give caller first dibs, and then we can agree or disagree with the caller. How about that? That'd be good.
Sure.
That's a good idea. We can all play, for the caller. We can vote our own and help
out. Yeah, we'll help the caller. We'll be their lifeline.
One caller?
I'll take four. Call in right now. 888-401-BEER. Let's use all four of those fuckers. Yeah. Right now, and we'll...
Should be one at a time, though, right?
Light them up.
Should I do feedback while we're waiting for people to call in?
Yep.
Perfect. Yes.
Get that out of the way.
This might take me a minute.
All right.
It's Chad's favorite segment.
Feedback?
Yeah.
Now the doc's gone?
Yeah.
It's Chad's.
It just moved over. It just shifted to the right.
Good job.
That was awesome.
All right, feedback's brought to you today by our wonderful sponsor, Brew Bars, B-R-U Bars. You can go to brewbar.com, check it out. And Brew Bars, it's the first ever energy bar made from beer ingredients. And it's made by home brewers, too. So go check it out, Brew Bars. We're happy to have them on board. I actually really like them.
And it's tasty.
They're real good, right? They're not like the dry kind of energy bar. They're soft and chewy.
Keep you alive during a beer fest.
Yep.
Very malty.
Actually, more beer was handing them out during NHC, like a club night.
That's a good idea.
And about the middle of the night, they're like, dude, you look awful. Do you want a brew bar? And I said, that's exactly what I need.
Energy bar.
It was great.
How gassy do they make you?
I still haven't slept.
Are they gassy?
I can't tell yet because I've always been drinking a lot of beer at the same time. So I don't know which
crop dusting factor.
You do need the yeast, yes.
Are they CDF? Are energy bars known for making people gassy?
They have the ingredients, and you're drinking beer, too.
Oh, I see what you mean.
The yeast, so
now I get
it.
You're pitching yeast to that.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's see. Oh, that's the wrong. I think I have last week's feedback in front of me. We don't want that. Yeah, just do that for a second.
You forgot the oh my god part.
The date.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't even want to play it.
Kick ass.
All right. Here's from Rick Tanaka wrote in. Hey Justin, I want to start by saying.
Wow, profound.
Oh, this is about Alabama and saying that they're going to be angry with us. They're going to rip you guys to pieces if you step foot into Alabama. After listening to the last show, I had to clean shit stains from my pants from laughing so hard.
And because I can't do laundry very well.
One thing that came to mind was a song by the Drive-By Truckers called The Boys from Alabama. Y'all should give it a listen.
It's a nice one.
I did give it a listen, and it is a good song, but it was not radio, you know, gold. It's a bit slow to get there. And
like Alabama.
Not a lot of fun. Yeah. But he says, because you sure as hell haven't learned a gall darn thing. Keep up the good work, fellas, from Rick Tanaka. So he liked our Alabama segment, I guess.
Oh, I think.
It's a weird way of saying it.
Is that what that says?
Here's another one. Holy shit, BNA6 was the highlight of NHC, right next to Justin's seminar, which I have to say was the best of all seminars. Yeah, to me. Thank you.
It was really good.
It was.
Those videos were hilarious.
I did like the videos.
They're on YouTube now.
The first Busted Carboy video on YouTube, man.
Ever. That's right.
Yeah.
We own that shit.
Yep.
Got a copyright that, Jipper.
I'm on it right now.
He also says, congrats on Club of the Year. You guys earned it with all your free info that most clubs would take years to present and organize. So I say congrats, and I don't give a fuck who says otherwise. Also, Doc is the shit. We need him back, and the session band needs an album. So clearly this man is insane.
And deaf.
Right. Let's see. Justin, I just watched the Brewing TV episode featuring the Brewing Network and caught up watching the rest of BYOB TV. I just realized how creepy it is to see you speak. I'm sure it's a strange concept to you, but after listening to you guys day after day and not able to see your mug makes it quite awkward to watch you talk. I guess what I really want to say is that I enjoy your show. You guys make my brew 100% better, but I don't wish to see your ugly mug ever again. Perhaps you consider me a drunk of the week via email. I'm out. JP, you're awesome. From Bart.
He is drunk.
P.S. When will the creepy coffee interview be available to watch?
Yes, it wasn't very good. Don't worry about it.
And I don't think we're allowed to post. They don't post just short segments over there, and I don't think we're allowed to post it at some... Although they probably wouldn't give a shit, but...
They wouldn't even know.
But you're not missing much. It's just a short thing, and it's...
We're describing the thing, and everyone's going this, and we're like, okay.
But as a radio fan, I'll agree, it is real creepy seeing the people that you like do radio on TV. Yeah,
it is weird.
It's not nice.
Just putting a face to a voice.
Or in person, for that matter.
You're always better on the radio. You kind of meet them, and you go...
Underwhelmed.
Don't look up the people from NPR, by the way. That's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
They're all pasty white people.
I'm with you on that. All right, this guy says he would pay to subscribe if there were any new episodes posted. I'm not going to pay a monthly fee for just archived episodes. I've heard them and can download them. He's talking about not having Candy Brew to Brew Strong recently. So if you were to start charging, I'd expect two things. New episodes on a regular basis. Concrete schedule of new shows. I don't see why there can't be a calendar on the website, which details when shows are on the air. And blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I know. Whatever. We're usually on top of things, but that's the way it is. Boise Brew writes in, I've listened to years of podcasts now and just want to say thanks for all the awesome info. You've taken my beer from something that just got me drunk to something that I'm very proud to pass around. And provided me with thousands of laughs on my long commutes.
Thousands. It's pretty good.
More importantly, congrats to the BN Club of the Year.
That's right.
And the people bitching about it have completely lost sight of what homebrewing is all about. They sound like the guys on the Northern Brewer 10th Level Beer Nerd commercial complaining that someone won a beer competition with an actual beer. Keep up the great work, guys. And everyone but JP can suck it. There you go. Another JP fan.
Wow.
P.S. We're all in desperate need of some meat.
Awesome.
Whatever.
Oh. Whatever.
Justin.
Did you put those archives up? I heard you did.
No.
Is that true? No?
Not true.
Fucker.
Justin from Eugene, Oregon writes in, I sent an email below to Bruce Strong, but I wanted to get a quick answer, so here it is to you. Hey guys, I'm hoping you might be able to help me out with a question regarding the use of fruit flavorings. Oh, Tasty McFruit.
That's tasty. Yeah.
This must be for you.
The gold medal winner.
Eyedropper method.
I have an apricot saison I'm brewing this weekend and hope to bottle 2 weeks later. The apricots here in Oregon are not in season, and the ones from out of state in the grocery store are not that great and really expensive. Apricot preserves and apricot nectar have extra additives that I don't really want in my beer. My local homebrew shop has apricot fruit flavoring for the cost of about the cost of 2 pounds of apricots. And I'm thinking that this might be the best route. Wondering if you guys have any recommendations on fruit extracts and flavorings and how much to use. Thanks from Justin. Tasty?
Well, Justin, you got the right idea. The way to make a fruit beer is to add something to the beer after you make it. If apricot's the flavor that you're getting in your beer, then that would be the obvious choice to add. There's two kinds of fruit extracts. There's like one that'll give you like aroma, and another that'll give you more flavor. If you could get both, then I think you probably could dial your beer in, you know, pretty well. In a glass, like you'll take 4 ounces of your saison, put some number of drops of the extract that'll give you aroma until you can just smell it, and then do the same thing with the flavor until you can just taste it. And that probably give you a pretty good example, give you, you know, the best combination of the two flavors.
Is there a brand name extract,
Well, homebrew supply stores vary. I think typically they only carry one, so you have to find out which that is, and then you have to go out and find another place that has the other.
Okay. Yeah. So you're just saying try both. Find the two.
Yeah, one that has more flavor and one that has just pure aroma.
Okay.
Yeah. And didn't you brew one of these, the number 9 from Magic Hat, right?
Yeah, apricot. Magic Hat. Yeah, we used apricot. Yeah, that same.
So, yeah, maybe look up that show.
Yeah, look up that show. We talk about it quite a bit.
Some tips.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you brew? Yeah.
Now, here's a good piece of information following up on our Cantillon episode. Adam from Australia wrote this in, following up a question, and the question was about temperature consistency at the Cantillon Brewery and if they're, you know, temperature controlling these barrels. And my answer was that they're not. It just kind of goes in a seasonal temp. And that my assumption was that it stays pretty close, you know, year-round just because of the room that they're in. So that even in the summer, it's not a whole lot different than it is in the winter, and he has a fair amount of consistency. Again, that was just an assumption that I made, too. I was just kind of throwing it out there. He has an interesting piece of information on it that he got from the wine world. So he writes in, this is actually it's John from Ontario who wrote this in. He says, the room at Cantillon may have a steady temperature just from the thermal mass of all the full barrels. In other words, the beer is what keeps the beer cold. I was at a winery recently, and the barrel room was above ground, and the winemaker said that although the outside temperature varied from 30 to 90 during the year, the inside temperature varied only a few degrees, as long as the barrels in the barrel room were full. He said, think about how much it takes to get a 10-gallon batch to heat up or to cool down, and then think about doing that to 4,000 gallons. So, kind of an interesting point.
Yeah, if all the thermal mass of a big room, basically. Yeah.
And I will tell you this. That room is stocked to the hilt with full barrels. I mean, every bit of space in the whole brewery is taken up by barrels that are almost all full. So I think it's an interesting concept that it might, you know.
It's more liquid and wood than anything else in the room, basically.
Yeah. So
yep, I think they're packed in there without aisles and stuff. I can see that being the case, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's some aisles down the middle, but it's really
it's full
up. Yeah. So, just an interesting, I thought a good answer to that, too. So, let's see. Do I need to read this? I like the show. Oh, this was an interesting thing about the Schumann's Dad show, but it's kind of old. He just recently listened to it. You remember when Schumann's dad died? You don't remember that? And apparently,
what?
Apparently, we did a real good show afterward. And I guess Sully was on that show that we did afterward, and Sully was talking about how he's got his death all planned out, like everything that will happen to him, which I think a lot of people don't do. Like, they don't go and write it all out, like, okay, I'll be cremated, and this will happen, that will happen. But Sully said he had it all planned out. Well, this suggestion from Gene here was that Sully should be packed into his cans. Think about it, like a mixed six-pack of cans. He says, well, maybe 2 six-packs if you need to include his giant head. But what would be more fitting than to be packaged? And he'll stay fresher longer. Not to mention that he can go to the beach and on a boat. Normal urns can't go there. So just a good piece of advice for Sully for when he dies.
Sully. That's right, Sully.
Right. All right, here's the thought about Bevo's maternity leave. He says, just a thought, but with Bevo's upcoming maternity leave, you have a chance to use her absence to your advantage. Auction off Bevo's chat room duties as a prize. Make it like $5 a ticket. Win a chance to perform free labor for a week. He says, you know the listeners will eat the opportunity up, more so if you donate a portion to baby's Bevo college fund or diapers or whatever Sam won't be able to afford. Standard
good parenting skills.
Yeah. He says standard limitations apply. Winner to provide their own transportation to the studio and shelter after the show. Think of the possibilities. Suck it, JP. This is actually a good idea. And the truth is, oh, sorry, I had turned you up.
Yep. It's okay. Yeah. That sounds like a train wreck.
It does. It does sound like a potential train wreck. We would have to be careful about the screening. I'm kind of willing to try it. And here's why. You don't have to be here to do this job, to be honest. Don't tell Bevo that. Because we obviously want Bevo here. But really, it's all done over the computer, and then Bevo Skypes me all of the messages from the chat room anyway. Mm-hmm. So really, guy from Canada can do this.
How would we call screen?
Call screening we wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's just chat mod. So the chat mod would come from a remote user, and we still have to figure out the call screening situation. But I think it might be worth a shot.
I was going to ask you if it has to be a chick, but then I realized there'd be like four bidders, so that wouldn't work.
In order for us to make a little dough, it has to be, we got to let everybody in. But there does have to be a screening process. Like, for example, you can't get real drunk during the show because the listeners would suffer. You really do have to send me over the questions from the chat for our interview.
Yeah, she actually does stuff. I just think they may be forgetting.
So there has to be some rules.
Yeah, I wouldn't get that far.
Neither would I.
So, I don't know. I might be willing to try this out when Bevo has to leave.
Hmm.
With her vagina.
Big vagina.
Her shitty baby.
Hey!
Big vagina.
You're on thin ice, buddy.
Yeah.
Big vagina, really?
Not yet.
Where'd you get that thing out of there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That thing.
Yeah. That thing's going to turn that thing into that thing.
That thing's a girl.
Oh, that's good.
Not a name.
When I say that thing, I'm talking about what your vagina's going to look like after that girl comes out. It's going to look like that thing.
Your face looks like that.
Are you going to get it sewn up again? Are you going to do get the
notch. Get the extra stitch.
Can you do that multiple times? Because we all know you're going to have like another baby. Do you have to wait till you're done having babies to have the stitch in? Or can you just get stitched every time?
There are issues that may require stitching after.
Right. If you do the cesarean, right?
Then
you
have to.
Oh. No, if she tears.
No, if I tear.
Ow. God, don't
say
that.
Ow, what'd you think?
I don't know.
Stitches.
Yeah,
cocoa butter won't help with that?
You can't just...
more cocoa butter.
No, she needs to go to Country Crock if you're talking butter after that.
All right.
I love Country
Crock. I need to eat tubs of butter. Why? Because my vagina's ripped. Well, that'll help it.
Oh, my God.
And you call in sick for that.
I really love talking
What's wrong?
About this.
I ripped my vagina. Oh, God, I hope that gets better soon.
Well, never mind.
All right. And the last one is just Phil had written in to give props. I don't know anything about this, but apparently some dude in the forum named Iron Man distributed a huge amount of hops to the Army for free. I guess he bought them like a big amount and distributed them to the BN Army for free. Like you had to buy them by pound, but you didn't charge any shipping. I don't know what the hell happened. But I'm supposed to give kudos to Iron Man.
Great.
In the forum. All right, Moscow. Looks like I got my callers on. I think we're ready for your game.
All right. All right. So
hang on, let me get them on. Let's see if we can make this happen.
Yeah, let's get them introduced.
All right.
Doing this one at a time, one caller at a time per question?
No. I'll be able to get them all on at once if I do this right.
I don't know if that'll work.
All right. Spider Wrangler. Is that you, bud?
This is me.
All right. That's Spider Wrangler. Hang on.
Hi, Stalker.
Nicole, are you on the line?
I am, yeah.
Is this our Nicole?
Yeah.
Nicole, what's
Nicole.
Up, baby girl?
Yeah, you see.
Nate ditched me at the Drake's Barrel House for a while, and I meant to only stay there for one.
Oh, she's doing good, I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I kind of tried a few beers while I was in there, so.
Great.
Trying to be weird.
Note to self, Nicole won't shut up for the rest of this phone call.
You need a chaperone.
I love Nicole.
I don't know what you're talking about, Justin. What are you talking about? No.
There's some really high alcohol beer in the refrigerator if you need anything.
If you need to get ready for Nate coming home, he's going to tear your vagina.
Yeah, I got the Country Crock already.
All right, and then we've got Ryan from Virginia on the line. Are you there, Ryan?
That,
yeah, man.
All right.
Is that her nickname?
And then finally, we've got Colin from Dallas. Colin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. We got all four callers on the line.
I did it right.
Amazing.
Nice.
Okay.
I did one thing four times.
Shut
Yay!
Up.
All right, guys. So here's what's going to happen. Moscow is going to explain the rules once more. You're all going to buzz in with your name if you know the answer. And then what you'll do, I think, is you'll buzz in, and you can either ask for the Brewcaster recommendation, and we'll all chime in and tell you who we think it is, or you can just go for it and answer. Does that sound clear enough?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Nice. Yeah, they're like professionals over there.
Wow.
I like this.
One at a time.
It's
working
before.
Out fantastic.
Yeah, but you know, make sure you let me finish the quote before
yeah.
you okay.
Before
you so buzz. He has
yeah.
to finish the quote
it's
before
very
you
important.
Buzz in, and then you buzz in by you know, yelling out your name, and we'll do our best to hear that. So.
Moscow, are you going to say something when you're done saying the quote so we know that you're done?
Code well,
word, like mayonnaise or
just say buzz in.
Mayonnaise,
say mayonnaise.
Say cocoa butter at the end of every quote.
Okay? Vagina rip.
Cocoa butter. Got it.
Say vagina.
Let's not talk about that.
Right. Yeah, let's add more syllables to my
buffoon.
Yeah, I'll just say done. How about that? I'll say done.
I prefer right. cocoa butter.
Cocoa butter.
Done.
All right. I'll say cocoa butter.
Cocoa butter.
Then. Okay. First quote.
Imagine, because everything we say will be made more profound by the ending cocoa butter.
Right. Yeah.
All right, here we go. It's the same reason he gave me why I hated Beer Wars. It was a shitty movie, and I didn't even see it. Cocoa butter.
Nicole.
All right, Nicole buzzed in. You can either answer, or you can ask the Brewcaster opinion.
JP.
Yeah, it's got to be just JP.
Come
that
on.
One's a simple one.
Come on.
Is that unanimous in the room, even though she didn't? Yeah, everyone says JP.
I don't
JP.
Think so.
Yeah.
Moscow?
JP.
Yeah, it's correct. I thought I had audio here.
Oh, you should.
Okay, well, that didn't work.
You don't have it plugged into your headphone output. You have it plugged into your line in.
No, right, let me try.
Because I can hear it on your external speaker.
One more time.
Oh.
Oh, wait, stand by. Stand by. Hang on. Play it again.
Shit. It's the same reason he gave me a lot why I hated Beer Wars. Because it's a shitty movie. I didn't even see it.
There you go.
I
JP.
Said that?
Correct.
I don't remember saying
what
that.
What are you surprised? There's not a person on earth that knows you that's surprised about that except for you.
I'm super surprised.
I don't think there's
that.
A person in this room that would say that
like
other than you.
I didn't even see it.
Easy, I didn't even see it. I didn't like it.
That was easy, bro.
It's the same reason he gave me a lot why I hated Beer Wars. Because it's a shitty movie. I didn't even see it. And so it sounds like I'm giving a reason someone else didn't see it.
No. I heard the context and you literally just said, I didn't see it and it sucked.
Oh, I did see it.
And I remember having that conversation with you before you saw it, too. Off air.
No, you're probably right.
All right, so
Nicole's on the board then. I was going to play first to three, but now we have like 26 contestants, and I hope I have enough audio.
We only have 24. Don't worry about it.
It'll be fine.
All right, next one. Who said, I really want to make this beer, but it frightens me. It's a very big beer. I'm a small person. Cocoa butter.
Chad.
Nicole.
That's Chad.
Oh.
Chad, what do you think? Doc?
I thought we were the callers. Wait, were playing.
Yeah, Chad's not. Chad can't play.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, he can't. No.
Oh.
Oh, I thought I was in.
No.
Come
you're
on.
Not in. We're only in if they want to hear from us.
Oh.
All right. So go ahead.
But that one is easy again, Moscow. You're throwing softballs over here.
Yeah.
No, huh? All right. Who? I heard Nicole, but I also heard somebody else at the same time.
Colin.
I'm giving it to Colin this time. Colin, go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Brewcasters. I'm going to go with you guys' opinion.
Okay, going to ask us. So the simple answer is Doc.
Yeah, obviously,
But Moscow is not as stupid as I think he is sometimes.
Can we go through who's eligible to be up for this?
Yeah.
Who are the choices?
Who are the eligible choices?
It's Justin, JP, Tasty Bevo, Chad, Doc, or a caller.
Or a caller.
Caller.
I go caller.
Oh, you're going for the twist. Can you read it again?
I thought
it was Justin.
I really want to make this beer, but it frightens me. It's a very big beer. I'm a small person.
So Doc wouldn't say that because Doc will brew any challenging beer.
He would like to brew high alcohol beer with no problem.
It's not the obvious. Yeah.
I'm with JP. I'm with Caller on this.
Yep.
Brewcasters, anybody else?
Caller.
Yeah, that's all I can say.
I say day.
Well, now, is Colin going for our advice or you want to choose your own answer?
I'm going to go with your guys' advice.
All right, caller it is.
He's very, very wrong.
Oh, play it.
I really want to make this beer, but it frightens me. It's a very big beer. I'm a small person.
Well, that's an out-of-context quote.
This is all out of context, Jip. We're not actually doing the shows.
Who said that?
Was that
well,
me
I realize
Justin?
That, but
that was you.
That's but that
Justin,
was a character. Yeah. That wasn't really you.
Jewish Justin.
Right. I think that gets thrown out.
No, no, it does not.
I don't approve of that.
Either way, there are no points for Colin. Sorry, buddy. We got duped on that one.
That's the idea, right?
Yeah.
Trick question. I'm not trying to be.
But it wasn't a direct quote.
But you do have. You got to know your BN. I mean, you got to know your brewcasters.
There's no way anybody would ever guess that.
All right.
All right. So this next one is the only one that's a little contexty. You guys were talking about amusement parks in Asia. The quote is, "Do you think that the limit to ride the rides is lower because Asian people are shorter?" Cocoa butter.
Colin.
Go ahead, Colin. Who do you want to go with?
Tasty.
Colin's going with Tasty on that one. You're saying he's the guy who said it?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw my opinion in it. I got to think that's JP, too. It's racist.
It's racially related? Yeah.
That's a JP comment.
First of all,
so racist, it makes me think I might have said it.
It's not racist. It's a fact that people in Asia are fucking shorter than Westerners. It's a fact. So fuck you. Second of all, it's Doc.
Okay.
Well, that's what I said.
That's actually a good guess, too.
Well, Colin gave a pretty definitive answer.
He said he knew it was Tasty. You sticking with that, Colin?
It's between Tasty or JP. I don't know.
I'd stick with your first one, your first
I'm
thought.
I'm Tasty. Yeah, Tasty.
Colin says Tasty. Play the clip.
Do you think that the limit to ride the rides is lower because Asian people are shorter?
No. See, JP called it. He's like, it's either me or Biba.
Right.
That's true. She is the other racist in the room.
It's
we
not
just don't.
Racist.
We don't picture her that way.
Sorry.
All right. No points
not
for Colin.
Little Bebo.
What do you got next?
Next one is, if you have to sound good to get the women home, you have to sound good. And if you're a bumbling idiot like I am, then you bumble throughout the day. Cocoa butter.
Ryan.
Later.
All right, Ryan chimed in. What do you think?
I'm going to have to say that's you, my man.
Really? All right.
I got to say caller. I don't know anybody who would even talk
JP.
About pulling women.
All the
really?
Funny stuff to me is JP.
No, man.
It's got to be JP.
That was funny to you?
That was funny.
I don't think
me.
I've ever said bumbling.
That's true.
That's
a good
more
point.
Like English. I bet that's one of our Aussie freaks.
I would say bumbling, though. Ryan might be right. I say stupid things like that.
I'm saying
Aussies.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys all vote
I think
me.
It's you.
All right, Ryan, you sticking with that?
Yeah.
I think caller.
Yeah, I think caller.
He's what is he sticking with?
He's sticking with Justin.
With Justin.
He's sticking with me. And what do we got? JP and Nate saying caller.
Caller is correct.
If you have to sound good to get the women home, you have to sound good. And if you're a bumbling idiot like I am, then you bumble throughout the day.
Who is that?
I don't know, but it's a great quote. Yeah.
It's a drunk of the week call.
It's a stupid quote, but I love it.
Is that Brett?
I want it on a t-shirt.
He's from the Midwest, but slightly south.
No points for Ryan. Maybe they should be able to pick a brewcaster to vote for them, because
they better.
Clearly JP is the best at this game so far.
They better figure it out, because I got only about six of these.
I agree with that.
Has anyone even gotten one right yet?
Nicole got
the first one right. So far, she's in control. All right, here's what you can do, guys. You can we'll all still chime in, but you can pick a brewcaster's answer is what you could do. So,
All right,
go ahead, Moscow. What's the next quote?
It's okay to be gay on the inside, just like it's okay to be white on the inside and black on the outside. Cocoa butter.
Wow.
Nicole.
All right, Nicole, what do you think?
Nicole.
Yep.
I think it's Justin.
You think that's me?
Yeah.
Hey, can you repeat the quote again, please?
It sounds kind of like JP, but it sounds more like Justin. JP.
The quote is, it's okay to be gay on the inside, just like it's okay to be white on the inside and black on the outside.
That's definitely Justin.
It might be.
No,
I don't know. I'm
I think
torn.
It's Doc.
That's more racially charged than your
Ooh,
commentary.
I think it's Doc.
You know what? Doc? I'm with. I got to go with JP on this again.
That offended gays, whites, and blacks in the same sentence.
That's Doc.
Right. He said it was okay to be gay.
Right. Oh, that's true. And he likes to say that.
Right.
All right. Who chimed in on that? That was Nicole that chimed in, right?
And she said Justin.
And she said, "Are you going to stick with that, or are you going to go with JP's answer?"
Oh, gosh, now I'm torn. What does everybody else think?
Brewcasters? Nate, who do you think that was?
I think it's Doc.
I'm thinking Doc as well.
Yeah.
Tasty thinks
I think I got talked into it, too. It's Doc.
Everyone else thinks it's Doc.
Okay, I'm a sucker. I'm going to say Doc.
All right, Nicole's flipping. Play the quote.
It's okay to be gay on the inside.
Oh!
Oh, so I guess it's okay to be white on the inside, black on the outside.
Wow. Tasty.
What is this shit?
Play that again.
It's okay to be gay on the inside.
Sure.
So I guess it's okay to be white on the inside, black on the outside.
Why is it so much funnier coming from Tasty?
I wonder how that came up.
What context was that in?
Do you even remember saying that?
Well, I don't remember it, no.
You don't?
Neither would Doc if he had said it, so what the...
How long ago would that... Right.
No, he wouldn't.
Mosca, how long ago would that have been?
Oh, that was like late 2008.
Wow.
Damn, nice.
Wow.
Clearly, Terrence DeBlack was in the room.
That's awesome.
Sitting next to Tasty.
Yeah, he was part of the deal, I'm sure.
That's funny. All right, what else you got?
All right, next one.
Should we change his name to Terrence the White?
Probably.
Terrence the Gay.
That's his baby's name,
Terrence
actually.
The White on the inside?
Yeah.
It's okay to be white on the inside. All right, next one is, I've always felt on the fringe of the group, and I still to this day do. Like, nobody called me to hang out with them yesterday. Cocoa butter.
Come on, right?
Oh, we know whose pity party that was.
That was everybody.
First off, they all did, but I heard Ryan first, so I'm going to give it to Ryan. And Ryan, go ahead, please. Who was that?
That is my main man, Jason Petros.
I'm just going to say this, Moscow. If it's anybody else, you're cheating. You're fucking this up somehow. Because that clearly...
I recorded myself saying it.
Yeah.
I guess that one might have been too easy.
Go
it's
ahead.
Like JP Circa 2010. Go ahead.
So I've always felt like on the fringe of the group, and I still to this day do. Like, nobody called me to hang out with him yesterday.
I want that as my new JP ringtone. Please email that to me.
Okay.
Every time I call.
In fact, JP, we could probably sell that to the listeners and make you a grip of cash.
That's a t-shirt.
I just want to clarify, somebody in the chat thought that might be me. I don't want to hang out with these people. I'm just forced to.
Well, that must be like an old quote, because right now I'm pretty much around the same as you the past few years.
Well, it's funny that you thought it was you, Bevo, because right after JP said that...
somebody in the chat room thought that was me.
Oh, okay. Well, they're accurate, because right after JP said that on that show, you chimed in and you're like, I haven't been offered a beer all day, and I'm sitting in a closet, and you think you're on the fringe of the group? So
that's true.
You can see why they said
that. Group, but I don't care.
I see.
You also get blasted by my fart.
Can we just hear it once more?
Yes, here it is.
It's okay to begin.
No, that's the wrong one.
I want to hear that one once more, too. I want to hear them all again.
All right, let's hear Tasty once more. It's always funny.
It's okay to be gay on the inside.
Sure.
So I guess it's okay to be white on the inside, black on the outside.
So I've always felt like on the fringe of the group.
What's that doing? Like, looking
I mean, the thing is that had it been JP, it really wouldn't have been as funny. There's something about Tasty saying that that makes it so funny to me.
It's more from the heart. I've always felt like on the fringe of the group, and I still to this day do. Like, nobody called me to hang out with him yesterday.
Okay.
See, it's not so much a t-shirt, that's a coffee mug.
Yeah, it's like a coffee mug.
Yeah.
Moscow, I gotta tell you, I love this fucking game.
You know, as I was putting it together, I had a feeling you guys would like this.
But, fantastic.
It was harder to pull clips than you think it was. You know, there's a lot of like actual information and serious talk that goes
and a
on.
A bunch of bullshit.
People
too.
Complain a lot about the bullshit, but there's not. I mean, it took me a while to find, you know, clips that would work well for this.
Right. Then you're going to hate what a success this game is so far.
I know. I'm going to have to scour more.
Yeah, just listen to the last half hour of every show.
Right.
You know, that's what I did. I listened to the first and last half an hours of every show. But yeah, I mean, I have enough of your guys' voices in my head to last me a lifetime.
So we have a tie game between Nicole and Ryan. How many questions do you have left?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4 more.
Okay, then everyone can still play. All right, go ahead.
The next one is, I've been shopping today, and I've been looking at gag balls and leather straps, and I was wondering about my BFF, cocoa butter.
Oh. Mm.
Nicole.
Bevo? Can I do
that? All right, Nicole buzzed in.
I want to know what you guys think.
I think caller.
Oh, I know it's a caller. It was Blobber.
Okay.
It's got to be a caller.
I'll say caller, too,
No, I think it's about Blobber.
That's what I was going to guess anyway.
All right, so you're going caller?
Caller.
All right, play caller. The
clip. Well, I've been shopping today, and I've been looking at, you know, gag balls and leather straps. And I was wondering
I love
about
that
my BFFs.
God,
that was Blobber.
Right? That was Blobber. Yeah,
and it was. I don't think it was a bad microphone. He has like a lisp filter on. Yeah.
It's not. It's a bad. It's a bad frontal lobe. It's not a bad microphone.
All right, I guess that one. So two of them were way too easy, and then the rest of them too hard.
I don't know. That one was tough for me. I I don't know our callers well enough. I would have said JP on that one, too. What if I not said JP on
that? That's true. I've always felt like on the fringe of the group. And I still to this day do. Like, nobody called me to hang out with him yesterday.
The end line is perfect. Like, for example.
Duh.
All right. So that's 2 points for Nicole.
So I guess if she gets one more, she's the winner.
Right.
All right. Next one is... I'm about to line up these plastic cups that we've been drinking beer out of and just pee right down the line. Cocoa butter.
Ryan.
Okay, Ryan chimed in. Go ahead, Ryan. Who do you think?
I'm going to have to say caller.
Well, he couldn't piss in the cups.
A drunk of the week caller, yeah. Maybe?
I'm thinking Bevo. I gotta think.
I disagree. I think it's JP. Do I get points if he's wrong and I'm right?
No. Although we may adjust the rules the next time.
Why isn't it Chad?
I think it's Doc.
Why isn't the dark horse?
Because the Chad quote. Yet?
If you think about it, who gives us a plastic cups all the time?
Tasty.
It's Tasty and Chad usually, right?
I can't pee while standing.
I like Tasty's guess. I think actually it's Bevo or Doc. I'm inclined to go with Tasty's guess of Doc, too.
Doc kind of sounds like... Yeah,
I'm have to line up the...
You're right,
read it again.
He had to pee during... And there was no break coming up, so he's pissed and he wants to pee in the cups or something.
And
he does
get angry about that.
Yeah.
I'm about to line up these plastic cups that we've been drinking beer out of and just pee right down the line.
It might be me.
I'm thinking you.
It might be me.
I think it might be you.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Tough one.
You would?
Who chimed in on this one?
Or you would say it.
I think Ryan chimed in, right? Ryan, did you buzz in?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. All right, what do you want to say? What do you want to go with?
The American Blobber?
I'm actually, you guys pulled me over. I think, honestly, whatever you say, I'm going to go with. So,
don't be a pussy.
I'll put it with you.
With me?
Well, we all said different things, yeah. Ryan. So what's your answer?
He says me.
Justin is your answer?
No, he says whatever I say.
Oh.
Huh. It's now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with Justin.
It's me or Doc.
Are you married, Ryan?
Yeah.
You sound like it. Oh, whatever you say, honey, it's fine. I really have an opinion.
He just said he's going to go with Justin.
No, he did.
Well, you're going with Justin's opinion or you're
going
with Justin?
He's going with Justin as the answer.
No, he's going with Justin's opinion.
I'm
going
to go with Justin's opinion. Oh, and Lord. Yes, I am married.
Okay.
Now you understand what I'm saying.
Man.
You guys already know who I'm married to.
You know, I'm thinking Doc. I think that Doc would say it. I think I could have said it. But I wouldn't have.
I wish it was Chad.
Because I'm the one who gets to take us to break. So I wouldn't complain about not having to go to break. I would just take us to break.
No, because there have been times when we've kept you.
Oh.
And you've had to pee. Remember the time you were standing up?
It was long ago.
Yeah, your eyes were turning yellow.
I think it's Justin.
All right, we're going to go with me. We're going to do me. I'm about to line up these plastic cups that we've been drinking beer out of and just pee right down the line. There we go. Point for Ryan. Nice
job, that sounds like an old
good
show,
job,
too.
Ryan.
That was late in the show.
So now we're back to a tie game, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, we are. And I have two more questions, so I hope one of you guys...
Well, I feel like we should take Spider Wrangler and Colin out of the mix so as not to have some kind of crazy tie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only the people that are contending right now.
Right. So, Spider Wrangler, a job well done, but we're going to have to let you go.
Yeah, I didn't even get in for any of those.
Good job.
Spider sounds like Roger.
Spider, would you like to go in for Drunk of the Week while you're at it, or?
No, I thought about defending my title, but I've had one beer, so.
That's fucking Roger, dude. Fuck you.
That is Roger.
This isn't Roger. This is Ryan.
Tell me you're going to cut me.
No, it's not
Ryan.
Ryan
as in Spider Wrangler Ryan, not the other Ryan.
Somebody's getting caught tonight.
It's close, but it's not quite Roger. It's Roger's evil twin.
I'll show you fucking ass. I'll fuck bitch.
If I was Roger, I would be much angrier and the phone would be on my naked ass right now.
He makes a good point.
Well, you do get it. Yeah. That's great.
All right, Spider.
Would be too salty.
Yeah.
Spider and Colin, we're letting you guys go.
I 8 hours to get back in time for the show.
Hey, whoa. I am going for Drunk the Week, though.
Colin, you want in for Drunk of the Week?
Yeah, that was my original call. I'm pretty wasted.
Okay, tell us how your friends would know that you're real drunk right now. What do they tell you that they know when you're drunk?
They tell me to shut the fuck up.
So they would.
I talk way too goddamn much when I'm drunk.
Right. You've been real quiet in this game, though.
I have, because I'm too drunk to realize what you guys are talking about.
Good point. That's a good point.
Colin, where are you calling from?
Dallas, Texas.
Texas.
Calling from.
Don't make fun of Texas.
Wherever the fuck I am, I don't know. I'll be calling any goddamn place I am. I don't know.
All right, Colin.
I'm back from the Bay Area.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What was your favorite?
I actually been drinking. What was that?
What was your favorite beer spot?
My favorite beer spot? I liked 2-1-A. It was pretty damn good. My favorite beer had to be all the Russian River beers.
Right.
I had Pliny the Elder. Damnation and Supplication. See? And what else? They had Consecration.
Okay.
So they're all great.
Yeah, all good beers. That's true. We'll give you that. All right, Colin, you're in the running for Drunk of the Week.
Sweet.
Cheers, brother. Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right, that leaves us with Nicole and Ryan. They're tied 2-2. You guys ready?
Hey.
It's okay to be gay on the inside.
Sure.
So I guess it's okay to be white on the inside, black on the outside.
We should put
that to montage music.
Yes.
We should destroy that.
All right, here's the next quote, guys. They just need to take the couple to the head and then call in. If I can understand what you're saying when you call in, you're not drunk enough. Cocoa Butter.
Well, it sounds like Justin.
Mm-hmm. Could be Bevo.
Well, no one wants to buzz in. Nobody's
ringing in.
Ryan
buzzed in.
I'll repeat it once more for you, Nicole. They just need to take the couple to the head and then call in. If I can understand what you're saying when you call in, you're not drunk enough. I think Ryan buzzed in, though. You got a guess, Ryan?
Ryan did buzz in.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's Justin.
Yeah, I think it's me, too.
You usually take the calls for Drunk of the Week. You just take them right from Bevo, because by the time she's on 8th level for Angry Birds. But
yeah. It's me. I've got it narrowed down to three of us. It's me, Doc, or JP. Doc tends to get weird with the drunk that we call it.
And it gets a little aggressive.
And if it's recently, then JP gets real angry with the drunk of the week callers. So that's why I might narrow it down to me or JP.
Doc is in the chat room, by the way.
Oh yeah,
he's voting me.
He's voting to
but
JP.
But I don't think I said it. I might go with Chad in that it's Bevo.
Huh. It's interesting.
Because I can hear her getting all fucking, Pinol on her ass. If I can understand you, then you ain't drunk enough.
L-Sob.
That's a good point. I would switch to Bevo. That would be me. But Ryan, you said it was me. What do you want to do?
I'm actually going to stick with you, because Bevo doesn't say a whole lot. She just kind of passes it along to you.
Right.
And, stay with you.
Okay. I wish you said a lot less.
Play it.
They just need to take a couple to the head and then call in. If I can understand what you're saying when you call in, you're not drunk enough.
Nice work, Chad.
Yeah.
You nailed that, JP.
I knew that was me.
That was Chad, man.
All right.
Chad brought me back.
Nice.
All right, well, I hope someone wins on this one, because it's the last one I got.
Last question, whichever one of you gets it, is our winner.
Scott, we'll just replay one of the first ones. They won't know.
Let's do that. Oh, I muted it. God damn it. All right, forget it. All right, next quote. Remember the time you were choking the broad, and Jamil could hear it out in the other room, and then you shit on her chest. That was great. Cocoa butter.
Nicole. All right, Nicole.
I think that's Jay.
It's got to be, right? It's got to be.
I think it's definitely me.
Yeah.
I think it's Justin.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, we don't think about the shit on the chest thing that much.
But Justin, it's all you can do is stop thinking about it.
Well, and plus, I was the only one here when that happened, because I know the context. Jamil came in to do either Kenny Brewer or Bruce Strong on a Saturday. And
then somebody shit on his chest?
And
what?
Well, as Jamil and I were sitting here in the studio, we heard Schumann banging some broad
in the stabbing cabin. Yeah,
and then on the show we brought it up. So, yeah.
But it could be anybody, really. It's an open field, because we riffed on that for like 10 minutes,
right?
But I'm pretty sure it was you.
Okay, Nicole.
Final
answer?
I wish it was Chad.
I'm gonna stick with my answer. Yeah,
play it. Remember the time you were choking the broad and Jamil could hear it out in the other room, and then you shit on her chest? That was great.
All right, Nicole's the winner. Nice job, Nicole.
Nicole, well done. She knows her.
Yeah.
She listens. She's a listener.
Wow. This game.
I've always felt
like
the fringe of the group, and I still to this day do. Like, nobody called me to hang out with them yesterday.
Yeah.
Here's what the best thing about this game is. It truly showcases how fucked up we all are. Everyone, I mean, right down to the respectable guy in the room, Tasty, ends up coming out of this game looking like all fucked up. So this is what I really love about this game, is that
it's
every
okay to
one
be
of us.
On the inside,
sure.
So I guess it's okay to be white on the inside, black on the outside.
And Bevo's fucked up quotes.
I'm just racist.
Yeah. Stereotypical. It's not racist.
Do you think that the limit to ride the rides is lower because Asian people are shorter?
Nah. No, jeez.
Whatever, I only speak the truth.
I love this game.
All right, Nicole's the winner of the inaugural version.
Well done, Nicole.
First annual.
What's great about Nicole winning is that we know her, so we don't have to give her a prize.
Well, we can't because she's a relative of an employee of the Brewery Network.
Yeah, yeah, that's they're ineligible to win.
That's true.
Actually, you know, not technically. Oh. Not even a relative. Friend.
That's true. Friend.
It's a friend.
You've been downgraded, Nicole.
Actually, she is an employee of a sponsor of the Brewing Network. Oh. So I'm sure it's that's in
Are there affiliates? Yeah, for sure.
As if we even have fine print. That's somewhere in our fine print.
So. Does that mean I can't compete for Drunk of the Week ever either?
Oh, no, no. We would never ban you from that. Yeah. You're just so goddamn good at it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. In fact, you're probably in the running again tonight.
Well, because if Nate ever drops me off at the barrel room before he comes over to the show again...
I'll pick you up in a couple hours, honey.
Crawl inside a bung.
Yeah.
And then when I get home, I'll do the same.
Oh! Ouch! What do you mean? Ow!
I have to get 2 stitches tonight.
Oh. One on each side. All right, Nicole. All right, well done, Nicole. Congratulations. And Ryan, so close, man. Thanks for playing.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure to go against Nicole, obviously.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Put her on.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks.
See ya.
All right. All right. Okay.
All right.
Good job, Moskowitz.
Yeah. All right. That was Guess Who Said It. So far, I've got Stump the Stoner and Guess Who Said It. Those are the games that we're going to play from now on.
Both good games.
Can you put Stump the Stoner in that category yet?
As that good?
Oh, I think it was. Yeah, the last
one was pretty good, but that was better. This one's better.
Yeah, let's play this.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot more work for me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Well, what else?
Yeah, let's play this.
The name Guess Who Said It isn't as clever as Stump the Stoner.
You know, I thought about it, and I was like, Babylon Brewcasters? I had nothing.
Right?
Yeah, nothing.
Keep working on
Maybe
it.
Maybe listeners can help you. If they could send in some of the
Yes,
clips.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. If you have suggestions for a name of this game, please email them to me.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up Drunk of the Week and a couple other things, then we're going to get the hell out of here. Thanks for hanging with us. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
There's an app on the iPhone for just about everything, including beer. Apps for finding a pint of beer. Apps that look like you're drinking a pint of beer. And now, there's an app for brewing a pint of beer. Introducing BrewPal, the most all-inclusive beer brewing app for professionals and hobbyists that fits in your pocket and goes wherever you do. Recipe formulation that can be imported and exported with a customizable database. Mash and sparge calculations, yeast pitching rates, carbonation tables, and more. Available right now for less coin than a pound of grain. See BrewPal in action at brewpal.info and download it for your iPhone at a special introductory price right now. BrewPal, all the brewing software you need, right in your pocket. Summertime has arrived, homebrewers, and the fine folks at More Beer are thirsty. With the arrival of summer's heat, More Beer's got you covered with great deals on temperature control and some fantastic lawnmower beer kits. Ranko and Johnson temperature controllers, thermowells, and thermometers, as well as light and refreshing beer kits you're going to love this hot summer. Stay on top of your homebrew's temperature and keep your kegs topped up, too. Summertime beer and gears from your friends at More Beer and morebeer.com.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Writing a review of WLP 400.
What? You're reviewing yeast?
Yeah.
White Labs has home brewer reviews of all their strains. Are you new to these interwebs? Check it out.
That's awesome.
White Labs, your source for great yeast, invites all brewers to visit whitelabs.com to read and write your own reviews of all their yeast strains. Get real-world tips and tricks from other brewers who have made the most of their vials and post your own experiences. It's another way White Labs brings you closer to the best yeast on the planet.
And send. There you go. You misspelled flocculate, dude.
What?
Mother...
White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Since 1921, Muntin's has been a provider of quality malted grain and extracts.
What did he just say? What did he say?
That's 90 years of locally sourced grain for home brewers and professional brewers alike. All farmed within 50 miles of our malt houses.
What? I can't understand what this guy says.
Last part.
Whole and crushed malts, including wheat and peated malt, liquid extract, hopped and unhopped, as well as dried malt extract. Everything from beginner home brewer kits to all the ingredients an advanced home brewer needs.
Something about trained?
What
language does this guy speak? He's from Austria.
Munden's is proudly serving brewers in 54 countries and honored to be a leader in malting.
Can you understand this guy?
No.
That's a really free language.
Ask for Muntin's malt and malt extract at your local home brew shop.
Muntin's, for brewing, distilling, and baking. Quality malted grain and extract for 90 years. Make your malt Muntin's.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. Oh no, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol.
Oh, it can't be done.
Come with me if you want the beer. Some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's going to get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you 7.99 Brew Saver shipping, massive selection, and superior customer service comes the Home Brewer.
Fix that door.
You better get out of my general store.
You sold me one, you can sell me one more.
I ain't gonna sell you no beer no more.
D-E-Y. Too drunk to think about it, might as well try. 100 pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye.
But I told you once, I told you twice. Drinking and driving is a madman vice.
Left, left, right. And a right, right, left.
Ooh.
interstate and you're going slow.
I missed my turn. Which way do I go?
Step out of the car. You're going to jail.
No.
Walk the line, heel to toe, tilt your head back and touch your nose. Reciting backwards the alphabet.
Up yours, pig, you do that shit.
Walk the line, heel to toe, tilt my head back and I touch my nose. Walk the line, heel to toe, better get far and go, do go.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. Exactly. It's so easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
Network.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. Yeah.
All right, thanks for sticking with us. You know, we do all these interviews on here, and brewers come on. They give us recipes and things like that. And one great way to brew the beer that we talk about is by using beersmith.com. You use their Beersmith software. They just came out with Beersmith 2.0, as a matter of fact, which is a great new version that everybody's talking about. I know that Brad spent a lot of time in development. You can go right now to beersmith.com and check it out. And get a free 21-day trial of the software, and I know we gave a few out at the at NHC, and people were so excited to get it because they heard so much about it. I think I gave Nate one. Brad wanted us to kind of pass out the key codes and make sure that we were all using them here so we knew about it. And beersmith.com, you can go check it out. Free 21-day trial version all on your own just by going over there. You can easily design world-class beers at home, make your brewing day easier, design a recipe in just a few minutes, and then generate step-by-step brewing instructions that tell you how to brew your beer, which is, you know, let's face it, perfect for me. You can build recipes quickly. Just pick items from the included ingredient tables, and Beersmith will estimate your color, OG, bitterness, everything. It really does it all. And it does it in a way that looks better than any of the other software out there. I think it's a little more intuitive.
By far.
And, especially if you're kind of a techie geek like me, then it just makes it a lot of fun to use because it has so many different things. You know, I would recommend that you could kind of use it side by side with your existing brewing software and kind of get a feel for it because, you know, you don't want to change everything on your brew day. But you could kind of put in the recipe on the software that you're used to using. And then during your free 21-day trial, you can do it on Beersmith all at the same time. And I'm pretty confident that you'll find it's a little more fun. It ends up being a lot easier. There's a lot more things that you can control. And just go check it out. And it's free to even do that. If at the end of the 21 days you're happy with your existing one, no big deal. It's a done deal. But if you end up liking it, then you can pick it up. It's pretty cheap, too. So beersmith.com. Go check it out. So I wanted to, you know, at NHC, I end up, there's a lot of things that happen. I end up real busy. I end up real scatterbrained. I end up real drunk. And a whole bunch of times, I don't even get to try the official beer of the NHC.
Yeah.
So luckily, Shat, being smarter than me, going around looking for beer, brought home a few bottles of the, I always want to call it symposium beer, because I think that's what they call it at the Craft Brewers Conference.
Beer.
But
yeah,
it's the conference beer that gets made just for that. This is my first drop of it right here. I didn't get to try it at all, and I was so I was cleaning out all the, you know, basically unpacking just this weekend from when was NHC? 2 weeks ago. I'm finally unpacking things, and I find all these bags of beer that Chad brought home. I was so happy to find them. Put them in the fridge. So I heard great things about the NHC beer this year.
No, it's the best. So, I drank them all warm.
Oh, you did? And you still
because they were
them.
So good.
So this one is the Porter. What do you know about the beers? Anything?
I just from what I read on the label, so I think this is the Porter that I want to say Tommy Arthur brewed when he was first brewing one of his first beers.
Yeah. So he brewed it. It's not like half homebrew or anything.
It's a collaboration with Tommy and I think another
Troy. Something.
Troy Aikman.
Yeah, it was from Troy Aikman.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's from an old brew pub that was in San Diego. I think it was his first brew pub. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's fucking great. Can I be honest with you? I actually kind of like it warmer.
It's real cold right now.
Yeah, I like a room temp.
It's a nice porter.
It is a nice porter.
It's smooth and chocolatey and it's fucking awesome.
It is good.
It's awesome.
All right, so how many beers did they brew for NHC this year?
I saw three bottles there.
Yeah, there was a dark session from Alesmith,
which was
collaboration
good.
With, I think, at least one other brewer. And then there was a black double IPA from Stone. Yep. It was just a giant, really complex, interesting beer, too.
Can you grab them, Shat? Only because you know what they look like. But I put them all in the first door of the Stripperator. Mm-hmm. They're all right there. And I only grabbed this one because I didn't know which of the other ones were actual NHC beers. But I want to try them now. I didn't get it before they go away or go bad or anything else.
I've never had this porter before. It's really, really nice.
It's really good.
Wow. I heard people like raving about them all week about how good the conference beers were this year.
It's the best conference beer from NHC in memory. Mm. And I've been going since 2001. It's like the best.
Yum. All right, let's do this.
It's like Evil Twin.
Oh, by the way, the chat room is offering $500 if we cut Nate's hair on the air.
$500 to who, Nate?
Hasn't been specified, but I would say three-fourths would go to Nate, and then one-fourth would go to me for facilitating.
Does it have to happen tonight?
No.
Anytime?
Yeah.
If when it happens on the air, we're getting 500 bones?
Yeah.
Well, no, we get the 500 first, and then we cut the hair.
That's
well,
a good point,
yes.
Moscow.
Yes, Jew.
We have been, he's great
but,
for
you know,
it. Because there
that's
is a,
smart, Moscow.
Needs
thank
a cloak
you.
With a hood.
I won't name it, but there's another giveaway we did where someone promised us $500. It wasn't even an individual. It was a company who got involved in a giveaway that we did, which was a fantastic giveaway. And I never saw that 500 bones. And so you're right.
You could have used a Jew on your crew back then, right?
Yeah, we needed a Jew on the crew. Well, in fact, that should be our motto. Have a Jew on your crew and things you will do. I don't know, whatever the hell.
I think that's a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah.
Right.
One Jew, two Jew.
Nate, don't fall for it.
No, don't do it.
No.
Like, well, fall.
See how it sounds bad right now? Justin's going to find a way to say it in a different way, and you're going to be like, okay.
All right, I'll do that.
And then, I'll be like,
and then 4 years later, you're going to be like, why the hell did I dance on that pole?
It's true. Here's how it goes.
I'm going to get in total doc mode on one of these shows and drink a lot, and that's probably when it's going to be proposed again. Then I will stupidly agree to it, and then we'll
do
it.
That's how I get you. And then I start to like appeal to your rational side. I start to go, look, Nate,
I can't afford
it. Come on, it's only hair. You can grow it back.
Right, well, I start to go, not even that. That's the obvious one. I start to go, how long you been doing this, man? I mean, you know, you didn't make it in the rock and roll route.
Exactly. Yeah, this is the one.
You gotta give up the look, brother.
You kind of had your chance, but now, look it, you're growing up a little bit. You bought a house.
You're
this is how I get
soon.
You. I start to appeal to, like,
you're gonna be 40 before you're gonna be 21 again.
All right, so listen, Bevo. You're young, you're still single, you're engaged to Sam, but you're not married yet.
Right.
Your body still looks pretty good, you haven't had any kids.
That's true. And I'm like, one day you're going to look back on this video, you're going to be a big fat mess, but you're going to look back and you're going to go, you know what?
It used to be me.
I was fucking hot.
Yeah.
That's how I got her.
It worked.
And she's like, yeah. Next thing you know, she's out buying high heels and a fucking bustier.
First of all, you bought the bustier. I already own the high heels.
Whatever. So however it works.
I'll
buy the scissors, too. Whatever I got to do.
If whoever presented that sends the money in, I will hold Nate down and cut it myself.
Right. All right, I got some drunk of the week calls. It looks like
I'll save my sideburns for $20.
You can be those. You can be like those nice fellows from Metallica.
What is this?
Right,
all cleaned up now.
Yeah. I have to go to rehab then too, and I won't be able to do the show anymore.
You'll suck.
Fun. Oh, yeah. I'll start to bring in. I'll do all of it. I'll start to bring in Nicole.
Well, we could do a. People are also saying we should do a fundraiser.
Right.
Just like that could be one of the, some random fundraiser that we do. We could probably get $1,500, dude. I bet.
That'd be nice.
I bet.
That'd be nice.
Especially if, in the studio
especially
afterwards.
If you did it also.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Dude, I bet we can do $2,500.
You've seen me with short hair. It's
I know. It's really good, too.
You look
it's,
like a Q-tip.
Dude, I kind of look like that. That's like a messy one now. See, I didn't even get into like the where it really would hammer it home for Nate is I just start talking about how difficult it is to have long hair and how much longer it takes.
Oh,
that's where I hammer it home.
And it takes so long to dry.
He'll cut it himself when I'm done with him.
Well, and then at that point afterwards, I'll be like, well, look, I really can't afford to give that money up, so just consider it good radio. You made good radio today.
Right. That's right.
It was a really good show.
Who hasn't been hit with that one?
Don't worry. One day I'll give it back to you. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be good. You know what? Here's a Canteon bottle.
All right, let's go to B Round. Is that the name there from Pismo Beach? What's up, brother?
Bevo's on the phone.
What's up, guys? How are we doing tonight?
We're doing all right. How's Pismo treating you?
In Pismo, the weather is good, and check this out.
Okay.
So I rode my bicycle down to this bar, one of the coolest beer bars on the coast, and they've got Deschutes on tap, which I love Deschutes. And they told me that as soon as we're killing this keg, we're going to tap in this really cool beer from Pittsburgh, California, called Evil Twin.
Nice.
Shook the keg. Yeah. There's only about 10 porters left. I made sure we killed those 10 porters. And, you know, I'd love to give you guys this whole list of all these crazy beers I was drinking tonight, you know. But I decided a couple porters, get rid of this keg, and let's go Evil Twin all flipping night. And is this not like one of the greatest beers ever?
Heretics, nice Evil job. Twin. Yeah, I like this story.
Evil Twin.
And in
I can't give you guys a better story than that. I've got everybody that walks in, they go like, so what kind of beer should we drink tonight? And I just stand up and yell, if you don't drink Evil Twin, then get out of the bar because this thing's going to change your fucking life.
Because I will kick you in the nuts.
Yeah.
This thing's going to change your fucking life.
Yeah, I started my beer drinking day at about 2 p.m. with some Evil Twin myself. Jay-Z dropped us off a keg when he came to do Brew Strong the other day. And we've got it on tap, too. It's good shit.
Why am I not drinking?
Winning.
All right, so, that's where you lost
that
me.
Being said,
yeah.
With that egg being laid.
That's all I got for you guys, man.
All right. You are all in the running. You're in the running for Drunk of the Week, man.
No. In the running? That's called winning right there. Another guy who's going to call in and said, hey, guys, I'm drinking Evil Twin for like $2 a pint, because that's bullshit. Nobody drinks Evil Twin for $2 a pint. It's Evil Twin to the fullest. This beer is the bomb.
To the fullest.
D-Round just fired up his moped.
To the hella fullest. Yeah, meanwhile, Cullen lives under the freeway out in All right.
If you can't get Evil Twin,
you're in the running. And let's go now to Mark from North Carolina. Mark, what's happening, brother?
So, guys.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guy.
What a difference.
Thanks for calling in, brother.
He sounds like the dog. I don't know, Davey.
What's up, man?
I'm a wee bit drunk today, and I felt like calling in for my first time.
Did you smoke some weed, too?
I did.
I don't know what it is, man, but you know, is it just me or
no? It's
like,
so obvious.
Yeah, okay, good. I didn't want to have like the weed sixth sense. That's not a sense I want. I thought maybe. Well, that's good.
I see dry clone.
All right. How much? Let's ask you. You know, instead of your beer resume, how many bowls have you smoked tonight?
Three bong hits actually.
Three bong hits.
And I just spilt my beer all over my floor.
That's a common theme here tonight.
Nice pillage tonight.
And do you get good weed in North Carolina?
Actually, yes.
It's pretty good.
Well, I have a feeling any weed is good weed out there. It takes me away from this hateful place.
All right. And if your friends were all around you right now, what are you doing that would let them know that you're drunk? How do they know you're hammered right now?
Probably spilling my beer all over myself like I just did.
You did? How much beer did you just spill on yourself?
An entire glass of homebrew.
16 ounces.
So I'm gonna give you guys a little. It's probably not a secret. That's how you know I'm fucking drunk, too. I spill beer on myself constantly when I've been drinking. On my lap, right down my shirt while I'm standing up. I'm like a big idiot. Like, I can't even find my mouth. I don't even know where it is anymore. Spill it everywhere. Soaking wet. That's why I don't wear white.
Well, it's after labor.
I do got something to say, though.
All right.
The dude before might have had Heretic Brew, but I defiled my body and got a giant hop grenade tattooed on my arm.
Oh,
nice.
I've seen it on the forum.
Hey, is yours the one that's the hop grenade and then it's got the banner over it that says Brew Free or Die?
Yes, sir. Oh,
that's a cool freaking one. Awesome one, too, man. That's really good.
That's a badass tattoo. Me and 2NA could go ahead and share. We can co-own that tattoo, yeah. Basically. He can put a trademark on the banner, and I'll put a little TM on the hop grenade, and we kind of own you.
All right. That's cool with me.
It's actually a fucking rad concept. I really like what you did with it. It was good.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Were you drunk when you got it?
A little bit. Not too much.
Right. They don't really let you go.
I always hear that they don't.
It depends on where you go.
They're supposed to boot you, but
you can still go to some hardcore places like in Vegas and get it. But
you bleed more when you're drunk too.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know, it's fine. A little bit of blood. Whatever.
Yeah, it was a nice clear tattoo. He obviously wasn't wasted. Looked pretty good.
Right. Okay, you're in the running, man.
Word. Sweet.
Cheers,
thanks,
brother. Later. All right, and then we'll try Fierce Face from St. Cloud.
He used to be Fierce Beard, but
Minnesota.
He had to shave, so I changed
Wait
it
a minute,
Fierce
what?
Face.
It's not Beardy.
No.
Oh, okay. Because
no.
I thought we had worked that out.
No,
he has some weird name.
St. Cloud,
dude, my heart just dropped when you said that. I thought Beardy had lost it. Wow. Where is St. Cloud?
It should
Cloud?
Be like $10,000 if Beardy cuts
I'm
his
here.
Beard.
Hey, Fierce
I'm
Face.
Here.
What's up, buddy?
Been drinking. sorry, I'm new to your site for over the last couple months, but I've been getting real into it.
I like that.
And I tell all my friends about it, and I make my friends at my factory listen to you guys during work and shit too, you know. Guys that don't even like beer like your show.
Oh, that's good.
Nice,
I like that.
Yeah,
a guy that doesn't like beer is barely a
guy.
What
kind of energy are you working with?
So I'm gonna go the opposite with Fierce Face than a bowl of weed. I'm gonna say line of coke. I think he snorted a line of coke before.
I'm thinking crystals.
Oh,
I'm thinking
no
drugs in your system right now.
Sorry.
Okay,
no, that'd be a monster.
Just a bunch of Surly Furious and some in a can.
Okay.
And Heineken in a can.
And Heineken.
And
is that your what's that? Your filler beer?
Well, I had like a bunch of like partial six packs laying around because I
ran out of beer.
I try to get something new, you know, sometimes and sometimes something old. I don't know.
Or as Tasty said, you ran out of beer.
Yeah. Heineken in a can is good.
If you had better beer, you'd be drinking it, wouldn't you?
It is. Yeah.
I don't mind a little Heineken.
Soda, man. You can't buy any beer on Sunday in Minnesota.
No, right.
Yep, you got to go to a bar,
okay,
a pub,
that's
or something.
Fair. They
hey,
can take
but,
whatever.
But soon you can sell your homebrew to a bar there.
No, it's Michigan.
No. Is there a difference?
I believe just recently you can sell growlers as a homebrewer out of your house in Minnesota.
Whoa.
Now, I think.
No
what?
Way.
What?
Yeah, but
Moscow,
you
get on
Minnesota.
That.
How enlightened!
No,
wow.
But you can't sell. But you can't buy beer on Sunday.
Right.
How archaic is that?
Beer on Sunday.
That's stupid.
Chad, I'm not going to lie. I'd put up a drive-through window fucking tomorrow if we could sell growlers out of this house.
You are on the corner.
Right. We'll call the ABC.
Yeah. I'll get right on that.
Do that tomorrow.
Scott, get on that.
I'm happy to report that Minnesota's growler bill passed its committee vote this past Friday. Based on what the senator in my district said, it sounds like it's well on its way to becoming law later this year.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening, I think, anyway.
It means that pubs can fill a growler to take home, basically. Oh, yeah. Doesn't mean it has nothing to do with home.
We'd be set up in a bowling alley. Awesome.
Yeah, that would be
how many growlers would we sell at the Chaco Bowl over there?
I love bowling alleys.
California Grand Casino.
White trash.
You know what? Yeah. It might have changed. I'm reading from something that's a few years old, so it might have changed.
Bevo is like, there's something about bowling alleys and,
I love bowling.
And home that just really speak to me.
That really make me feel like
I
home.
Hate you. I do love bowling.
There's something really gratifying about taking a
really heavy object and throwing it as hard as you can at something.
Right?
And knocking it down.
It's true.
Right? Yeah.
Well, it's
that's
reverse.
What Sam said when Bevo got pregnant.
It's an analogy for reverse racism.
Right.
The black man will topple the white man with the red on his head.
Mark that time down, Moscow.
Yeah, but see, we have to play that game in like 2014. Yeah. Otherwise, you guys will know.
Right. All right. So, if your friends were around you right now, how would they know that you're drunk?
Because when I point at something, I use all five fingers instead of just one.
That's a fucking weird thing.
He's saluting.
I love that. That's they're like, dude, you're doing it again.
Oh, that thing right over
there.
Are
you pointing at me or are you pointing at all of us? I can't tell.
That's funny.
Exactly.
Are you sure it's not one finger and you can just see five fingers?
Right.
When you do it, do you make a little mustache?
Right. One hand makes a mustache, the other one points.
I want that over there.
Let me do it to the camera. Yeah.
Give me
so they know what Bevo's talking.
Right on the top shelf, right up there.
I want that one right there.
Right.
Sorry,
there.
Scott.
No, oh, there. Not
Moscow's
there.
Pissed.
There. Right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
They killed Greeks, too.
I'm glad I'm not the only one making World War II jokes.
Turn into a neo-Nazi when you're drunk.
Again, racist comment from Bevo.
Hey, Fierce Face, did you have that answer chambered? Like, that was a really specific, quick answer.
That's what I was hoping for.
He said he stammered pretty good.
No, they tell me it all the time. They're like, dude, you're fucking playing with your whole hand.
That's what I was saying.
Why
they're like, dude, you're doing it again. That's I don't know who you're pointing at.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, Fierce Face.
I think I might have met a homebrew club.
Oh, you did?
I'm in chat room tonight. Yeah, I got invited to a meeting tomorrow night. I'm going to go to my first probably homebrew club in Monticello.
Dude, they're going to uninvite you after this.
Make sure you wear something pretty.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't put out on the first date.
They're going to hug me when I come in. Who says?
They're like, oh, we love you.
Tell them all about being drunk the week.
Yeah, they'll love it.
If you get it. If
fine.
You get it.
Yeah. Embarrassing. One or the other.
All right, Fierce Face. You're in the running. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
Later, brother. All right, and is this Sarah 36C on line 4? What we got going on? Hey, Sarah, what's happening?
Just woke up.
Oh my goodness! Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, not much.
Drunk again,
I'm
aren't
trying
you?
Trying to get
a repeat.
No, I was just calling to say hi. That was it. I'm not even trying to play for Drunk of the Week.
What are we dating right now?
What?
What are we gonna have a conversation?
Yeah, well, sort
of.
What, are we fucking married? Are we dating? You want to ask me what I'm doing?
So what you doing?
Yeah.
Sure.
How was your day?
How was your day, Sarah?
No, I just wanted to say hi because I just wanted to prove that you can still drink and not have to call in as Drunk of the Week.
I
still
see.
Drink.
Yeah,
and
like that.
You're calling in as a normal person.
In the morning.
You made your point.
Well, semi.
You're totally proving it right now. Speaking of semi,
yeah.
Did I tell you it's Sarah 36C on the phone right now? Someone feel Tasty's crotch right
here.
Now. Moscow, grab his crotch.
Hey,
I did that right at the beginning.
I gotta leave the room again.
Just grab it real quick.
I have to
leave the room.
Hi, Tasty.
It's not gay if it's part of your
job.
It's
okay to be gay on the inside, Jay, not the outside.
Right.
You can't be grabbing at stuff.
Chad can grab it. They're good friends.
Oh, hey.
Not that good.
Not that close.
All right. Well, Sarah, anything else to say for yourself?
That's all.
We're glad to hear from you.
Okay, good.
Hey.
I know. I'm glad to talk to you.
Now, if you were in the running for Drunk of the Week, what would your friends say to you that how they know you're real drunk? How would they know?
I would start to get naked, so that would probably be the start of it.
Their friends are like, look, she's naked again. She must be drunk.
I knew you'd say that.
Really? You get naked in front of your friends when you're drunk?
Unfortunately, people that aren't even my friends.
That aren't even my friends.
Strangers.
It's been bad. It's been really bad, because sometimes I, like, start to pull off my shirt and realize, oh shit, like I don't even know these people.
Oh, Sarah, you're just saying.
No, you know what you need? You need a hockey jersey because
bad.
They button on the inside, and that way you can't pull it off over your head. That's what you need.
I know.
Or a straight jacket.
I need to be like strapped into my clothes. I know it's bad.
Now, is this a recent occurrence, or have you always done this? It is. Like, what are you talking, the last year?
Are you remembering suppressed memories of an uncle or something?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I start to black out, and I don't realize, and I think I'm, like, in bed or something, so I start to pull off my shirt. It's really bad. And then I realize, like, oh, shit, there's, like, 15 people looking at me. I better, like, stop it.
Oh, shit, I'm on the jumbo screen.
Right. Again.
Again.
And then...
Yeah, I know.
Does Mr. 36C get upset with you the next day, or is he just like, whatever?
Oh, he does. No.
Yeah.
He gets, like, super pissed.
I would, too.
Because it happened with his boss.
Get your clothes. Oh! His boss is...
Tell us that story.
No, I don't want to, because it's really embarrassing. Like, I'm horrified, and... He, like, wouldn't talk to me for 2 days because of it.
Now, so was it, like, at the Christmas party or what? Or, like, the company picnic?
No, like, we invited his boss over to fucking have some homebrew, and then
have some homebrew in that order?
Oh, so it was at the house.
Yeah, and then...
He doesn't know about you getting naked?
Something happened. It was, like, 8 beers later, and off it came, and then I was like, oh, shit, and he, like, pushed me into bed and locked the door and kept me away from them, and I don't know, and then I woke up the next day, and he was really pissed.
I like how they have a lock on the outside of the bedroom door.
That's the Sarah lock.
Yeah.
Now, was it, like, the boss and his wife?
Yes.
I love this girl every time I talk to her.
Yeah, you're a star.
Sarah, what does he do for a living?
What, the boss guy?
Well, yeah, and your husband.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, he's actually, like, the beer guy at the restaurant.
No, but he
so his boss doesn't
care. It was, like, the owner of the restaurant.
No, who cared was the boss's wife. The boss didn't care.
No.
He's, like, asking to come over for more homebrew.
Well, not anymore, but... I wouldn't have minded. I mean, she looked like Angelina Jolie. I would have liked that, but I guess I was kind of fucked up, so...
Did you try to make out with her?
Oh, no, I stood with my shirt off, and then my husband, like, pushed me into the bedroom and locked me in there.
He ruined it.
He should have given it a minute. Maybe she'd have been into it, too. She might have ended up topless in another 2 seconds also.
Yeah. Just let him hang there and go, huh?
Sometimes what you got to do is you got to look around like this, like, all dumbfounded, like,
what do I do?
I didn't even know this was going to happen.
I didn't even know she had those things.
And then you kind of give it a second, and if the other wife doesn't start taking her shirt off, you go, this is really bad. And then you shove her into the bedroom.
Yeah, you gauge their reaction first.
But you gotta, like, feel it out, don't you?
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Tell me you grew up in Europe.
Well, I'm just lucky he still has his job.
Actually, Chad makes a good point. Tell Mr. 36C, the next time just go, I'm sorry, she grew up in Europe and it's normal.
That always works.
It's normal. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to, you know. Meanwhile, the boss is like, dude, your wife is rad. And listen, and no one wants to stifle that, Sarah.
We like the way you roll, for sure.
Right.
No, it was pretty bad. I'm glad he still is working there.
Probably got a raise.
Somebody got a raise.
His boss did, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And really, the boss's wife looks like Angelina Jolie. Like, bad plastic surgery Angelina, or, like, still doing okay?
No. Oh, no, like, nice, full tits, like, skinny body, muscle, you know, beautiful. She was really hot.
Wow.
It's probably why I whipped my shirt off.
Yeah, you're like, hey,
you got all excited.
I want to be hot with you. Why not?
Yes, exactly.
Well, I like your spirit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to say hi. Sorry, that kind of got sidetracked.
No, it's fine. Thank you for calling, Sarah. Yeah. We'll see you.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
Put your clothes back on.
And by we'll see you, I mean I'm going to pull up your pictures right now and see you again.
Pull something.
All right, what am I, back to line one, Beef, with John?
Yeah, line one and line two.
John, what's happening, brother? You calling back already for Drunk of the Week.
Oh, man, you know it.
You're not supposed to call back, John. I told you that.
I told him he could.
I can't help it. I have to call back.
Can't.
He does sound drunker. He sounds like he decreased in age by about 15 years.
That's show policy. Remember
he's like
that?
He's like an 18-year-old blobber now.
I was trying to enforce show policy.
He's breathing really hard.
Well, okay, if I'm decreasing in 18 years, considering that I'm, like, 38. That would be 18. Minus 18. I don't know. 20? I got like Justin math. I don't know. Probably 4. I don't know.
Justin, you remember when we made that policy when you can only call once? The call is the exact reason why you made that policy.
Although he is proving that he's drunker now than he was before, it does up his Drunk of the Week rating.
Because then we have to wait for everybody else to call back.
I had to call back. You know, okay, I've been listening since, at least a year, from now. And
wow.
And
he's got future shows in the can.
Yeah.
And I love you guys. And
no, I love you.
He's a loving drunk.
You do not know how much I love you. You might love me, but I love you more.
No, dude, I love you. You don't even know. I love you.
No, you cannot describe how much I love you. And
why don't you try?
The love for you, it does not describe how much the love I have for JP. JP, you fucking rock. Justin, you're the shit. And
I love you, John. I love you a lot. I love the way you make me feel. And frankly, I love the way you smell.
All right. Well, if you could, if this was Smell-O-Vision, I'm sure you would, you would love the way I smell.
I love the way your nutsack smells, just slightly oniony, but slightly cheesy at the same time.
I love you.
No, that's just the fucking dog. That
there's another quote for the next. Guess who said it?
Here's the thing. Yeah, if you smelled my nutsack, it would not be oniony. It would be more like cloves, maybe a little banana ester.
Like a saison.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Sarah, if you're listening, call back in.
Yeah, we're never getting
we love you.
Yeah, no, one call per caller. God damn it.
Tired of shit. No one call, especially if there's like one big giant, like group hug. I love the group hugs.
Right.
I love a big group hug, especially if it's hugging JP.
Yeah. I'll group hug with you, John. Mainly because the bulges in her pants will touch. And
touching balls is awesome.
I love you.
Where's Barber?
I love you.
Barber to sing this.
I just love you. That's it. Just wanted to say that man to man.
You don't even know.
You don't even know how much I love you.
No, song brings back bad memories.
I love hearing that from JP, that he sat around crying to this song at some point in his life. That's what he just said in that one little sentence.
No.
He just said how much he sat around crying to this song.
When no one called him to hang out the other day, he cried.
I don't know what you're talking about in high school. I'm talking about the other day.
I had to translate this song and to transcribe the words to this whole album for this Mexican family I was staying with in Mexico. They're like, can you write this in English? Oh, fuck you, dude. Yeah, for a month I sat and listened to this fucking whole album, writing it down.
Hey, John.
You wrote down every single lyric?
Every
I love
single
you for
lyric.
That. I love you that you did that.
That was very loving. Yes.
It was very loving.
I love this song.
Shut up, Bebo.
And as you're writing it down, do you shed a tear?
No. Actually, it was... I was jerking off a lot.
I love Kevin Costner.
That's what I want.
In this movie.
Me too.
I do too.
I love sax solo is what I love. Who doesn't? What happened to the sax solo?
Yeah, where did it go? It disappeared. The turn of the century. Totally gone.
I mean, the sax solo really, it started with Hall & Oates. And
it really puts a time and place in this song,
Yeah, it really kind of gives you time to reflect about how much we love John.
What you're saying?
And he's still talking about it, which is amazing.
You know what I love?
Yeah? Go ahead.
I love life.
You keep telling
me. I am actually walking outside, closing the door so I don't disturb my lovely wife.
Okay.
We hear you, brother.
All right. I love...
Because you love us more than her.
I love life.
Tell us how much you love life.
How much I love life?
Tell the world.
Dear world, I love you. I love the life. I love the life that you tree. Your palm tree that I am, you know, looking at right now. Because I live in South Florida. I know, Doc doesn't like South Florida, but whatever. I love Florida. Yes, Whitney Houston, you're a bitch.
Oh, what happened to the love?
Oh, radio gods. I love you. Yeah, you can't create that.
No.
That just happens.
What a great choice of song. Good job there, Jay. Okay. Good job.
Who's thankful I let him call in for a second call?
Not me.
I am thankful right now.
Still wasn't even that good.
All right,
so, when he gets drunk, his friends say he becomes overly affectionate.
Yeah. John's definitely in the running for drunk of the week. What do we have? Brandon from Nashville?
Yes.
All right. Brandon, what's up, brother?
I got to follow penthouse letters and Benjamin Button.
Choose your backup music wisely here.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, Brandon, but you're fucked, dude.
It's not as hard as you think.
I mean, I might as well just let y'all go home early.
Yeah, thank you for calling, but you are not in the running for joking. No.
Can I at least just say that I drank a growler of Lucky Bucket IPA?
Yes!
Nice!
Oh, dude, that's a good beer.
Well done, man.
That was worth getting beat for. I hope he wins. That was fun.
All right, thanks, brother. Cheers, man.
Yeah, you guys have a good one. Bye.
You too. Lucky Bucket IPA, man. I wish we were drunk on that ourselves. All right, is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Whew. Oh, Bevo made a note to me that her boobs are bigger than Sarah 36C right now. What size are your boobs right now?
34D.
36D.
Yeah, you're in the D. You got them all pulled in right now.
I have on 3 shirts to contain them.
Yeah, but
don't do that.
Sarah still wins because there's nothing growing underneath hers.
Whatever.
Bevo went up a number, too. She was at 34D, which is that's
because
a real
nice
size.
Because you can't
find
a 34D.
Yeah. Well, you found one, didn't you?
No.
No, I have duct tape.
I love D's. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Nuts.
I was drifting off there for a second.
Tell me about it.
All right. Congratulations to our drunk of the week, John, ladies and gentlemen.
No, yeah. That's not fair. Yeah. That is not fair.
Oh, great.
It's not fair.
Whew. That was nice.
He even beat out Fierce Face, who uses all 5 fingers when he points.
He did.
Wow. Because
and
he called twice. That's why it's illegal.
I also have to just thank him because I needed that. I needed that good radio experience where it just really happened and hammered it home for me.
Renewed your faith.
Oh, it renewed me. I needed a little refresher course in good radio. And John gave that to us tonight, and I can't thank him enough. Our drunk of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Good job.
He was a first-time caller also.
Is that right?
Wow. Busting your cherry in style.
That one left me out of breath. That's how good that was.
One gave me a hot flash.
That was a moving moment for sure.
That was moving. You know, anytime you can combine Whitney with drunk people,
pre-get a marriage.
So perfect.
It's just
the climax of the song and his love.
The timing couldn't have been better.
Just a bit of perfection. Okay. Whew. Let me compose myself. All right, next week we got a great show coming up for you because Jason Yester from Trinity Brewing Company. I got to speak to him at GABF last year. He's a great sour beer brewer. He was on our sour beer panel, so I'm real stoked. Trinity Brewing Company making some good stuff out of the Pacific Northwest, I think, right? Oh, is that where they're located? Yeah, up in the PAC Northwest somewhere. So we're going to talk to him next week. I'm excited about that. We'll get to learn more about sour beer. And then there's going to be a road trip happening soon. I'm out of here, and what's going to happen is that JP is going to take over the airwaves in here and be your host. Actually, it only works.
It couldn't have been quieter when you said that. It couldn't have been.
Oh,
come on!
Really?
Well, we're trying some new stuff. It's going to be a little different, actually. I'm going to be calling in from the road with our interviews still, so I'll still be sitting somewhere with our guest for that hour or so that we do our interviews somewhere from the road, and then you guys are going to be holding down the fort in between and doing what you do over here. And I think it only works out to be a couple of shows because of the way our off weeks work and stuff like that. So we're looking at like a couple of Sunday sessions while I'm on the road. We're also going to attempt to bring you some good video from the road. So I'll tell you more about it next week because I'll know more about it then. You know how we work around here. I wait to the last minute to plan the whole damn thing.
No.
So. But we'll be doing that, and we'll give you a schedule of who to expect and what's happening. We'll do our best to bring you some good content. So hang in there. But we're still on the air next week with Jason Yester from Trinity. Is that what it's called?
It is Trinity. It's actually in Colorado.
Oh, it's in Colorado.
My favorite
show. Oh, that's right. He just looks like a Pacific Northwest guy because he's got like dreads and the long beard and stuff. He either looks like from Maine or Pac Northwest, but Colorado, I guess.
Or Colorado. Colorado's the Pacific Northwest.
It's very liberal there.
It's true. Of the Rockies.
Nonsense.
All right, good job, everybody. Thanks to Zach Tremer from Lucky Bucket Brewing Company. Always a pleasure to talk to him. Go check out the beers if you can, because we all loved them, especially that IPA.
We love those beers.
Oh, yeah. That was just nice. And then, of course, the Certified Evil was just a great beer, and he's doing good stuff. Can't wait for that sour.
Yeah. Good stuff. They're keeping it in under the wings right now. Someday we'll get it.
All right. All right, Nate the Douche is on the road for the next couple weeks, right?
Yep.
We don't get you back until next month, or what?
About 2 weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Off to Belgium.
Yeah, Hesher.
Call in from Belgium.
Yeah, do some
call
research.
Call in from Cantillon.
Yeah, Skype.
Get ready for an avalanche of emails accusing you of living a lavish European lifestyle on the army's dime.
No, Nate actually has a job.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, I have to fund it from that. That's right. Damn, I thought we were paying for this from the BN.
Are you going to play the BN card when you go see Jean now that,
yeah,
now that he's a fan?
Yep.
Do it.
It'll be more like European, not European.
Wait, give us
get ready, guests. JP's going to host a show here very soon.
Can we get your broken record joke again?
Yeah. Speaking of broken record, I'm glad it didn't sound like... I do
like it the second time.
It's pretty good. It's better even to watch him do it. Look at his face when he does it.
Maybe I get drunk in the week because I called twice just like fucking John did. That fuck. That traitor fuck.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
A bark will do me when the skies are gray. I'll take a Belgian brew any time, and the women think the lambic fine. But don't you give me that American crude, boys. I want